Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, bleeds out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit. What is entertainment? Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What?
Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Hakthui, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up!
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue. And
issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue. I'm not a problem. It's just an issue.
I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
The vision is real. The power is reawakening. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
Hey, 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 what's going on, everybody? Welcome again to the Conti and Kenny Show, Arrogance and Alcoholism. My name is Joe Conti. I am running the ship all by myself.
All by your lonesome.
But I got my buddy there on Skype, Kenny Michaels. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, pal?
Not bad, not bad. We have a new phone number. It's just got to get hooked up. It's going to be kind of cool. It's like
1-800-538-8300-EMPIRE.
Empire.
Is it that one?
It's not Empire, no. But if we do get that, that'd be cool to get like a bunch of carpet phone calls on the show while we're trying to do a program.
Yeah, I got 1,400 square foot. How much you charge?
Shut up, get wood floor. Carpeting has friggin' chemicals in it. Idiots.
I want that kind of copper you can clean Asia when you get blood all over it.
The Skype, if you do want to call in, it's NPN Studios. And of course, we're on morelikeradio.com. We're also on ContiandKenny.com. And we're also on the TuneIn app, which is you put it on your phone, tune in. It's like one of those iHeartRadios, except it's better because it's got our show on it. And it's, you go on TuneIn, you download it, and then you search More Like Radio, and that station, boom, and then you can listen to our show. So, our Twitter account...
Something like iHeartRadio. I wish I could be like, I middle finger your idea.
Yeah. It's I don't like the name of it, but the idea of it, and of course what it is, it's very cool.
Sure.
Although now, I mean, almost every station now has a website that you can just listen to anyway. You know, like if you did have a rock station that you wanted to listen to in Denver, Colorado, because their rock DJs are so much better than the New Jersey or New York DJs, you just go to their website and they have a feed and you just do it right from your smartphone. So, you know, in that aspect of it, you know, it's not even that big of a deal. But for what we're doing and all these internet shows and all these different podcasts, it's great. You know, it's and the TuneIn, of course, is the better one, right, Ken?
Sure. Yeah, because it's ours.
Because it's ours. And, of course, our Twitter accounts, the shows is at C&K Show. Mine is at Joe Conti Comic. Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. And, of course, like our Facebook page and subscribe to both shows' podcast. Of course, the Conti Kenny Show. And then, of course, Conti and Kenny Shorts. So, where are you, brother? I actually know where you're at.
I am in beautiful St. Charles, Illinois, right outside Chicago.
Chicago.
Hey, so basically Chicago.
Jesus. So what's happening there? This is probably the coldest this country has felt since we knocked down the wall in 89.
Or since we turned our back on Iraq. Gulf one? None? Yeah, go fight. We'll help you.
Yeah.
Ooh, shit's getting hairy. You guys take care of it yourself. A little cold. Anyway,
Cold shoulder war, I think they call that.
Yes, I am in the mommy dearest vagina area of the country. The coldest.
Dude, right now you're in Chicago when they are dealing with record-breaking lows.
This was a destination. I came here on a purpose. I had to come here. I was.
Oh, yeah, you're not on vacation. I mean, if you are on vacation, you should be just, you know.
Western Echo, not as cold as this audience is going to feel if these jokes keep coming. He actually said jokes keep a-coming.
Keep a-coming, yeah. Chug-a-lug.
I know, it's fun, ain't it?
It
really is, man. It is brutal. I have never felt anything. You know, you've been in a freezer before. Or,
yeah.
You know, you've been into cold weather. You've been outside in the cold for a long time. This literally is, it's seconds. It's literally you're outside for 30 seconds, and whatever exposed or one layer, like your pants or your sneakers, I had sneakers on. Your feet are gone within minutes. Your hands, I was like, oh, let me go outside. I'll smoke a cigarette outside, and I'll make a phone call. And it lasted maybe 30 seconds. I was like, this isn't even worth it. The cigarette was trying to go back into the pack. He's like, I've had enough of this. He's trying to climb up my sleeve to get warm.
Wow. Yeah, I mean.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
When me and Otto were up in, Edmonton. That's right. Edmonton, Canada, which is as far north as you're going to get in Canada before it's just, you know.
Before you have to start eating whale blubber.
Yeah. You know, after that, you know, there's just, you know, guys with big mustaches and skis, you know, tennis shoes as, you know, like tennis rackets as shoes. And it was February. So we were there in February. And the thing was, we couldn't figure out. Every time I thought I knew the temperature, but because it was in Celsius.
Yeah.
So that was the coldest I think I had ever felt on me, period. And it was, I don't even know what the temperature was. It always seemed like it was around zero, but that could have been Celsius, or that could have been, you know, I don't even know. It was the cold. Like, I remember walking across the parking lot from our condo into the little gym area where they have little bikes and little things, and it was 30 seconds to 40 seconds. And by the time you got there, I was like, all right, I'm done. And I just wanted to go back to the apartment and go and hang out. But, dude, we got used to it. don't get me wrong, we weren't walking around, you know, like, you know, without T-shirts on with, a you know, Edmonton Oilers painted on our chest. But we started to get used to it after about a week where I'm like, all right, you know, and we wait outside for our taxi and you just get used to it. You know, I mean, it wasn't fun, but it wasn't as brutally painful as it was the first, you know, first time you go up there and you feel that biting cold.
You know what? We probably have to see what the temperature was in Celsius, because there's no way you're just not getting used to this.
And I'm not saying getting used to it, not like you're enjoying it, but I'm sitting there going, all right, this is brutally cold.
No, but I mean
cold.
Being able to deal with it. You know, the woolly mammoths. Yeah. Couldn't adapt to this bullshit.
Yeah, and believe me, we only walked to the store once when we first got there, and it just wasn't that cold. You know, it might have been zero. Maybe it was 5 degrees or 10 degrees or something. So, I mean, it was cold. We were just in the, you know, we stayed in the condo. We didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, right now, the temperature here in St. Charles in Chicago is... I believe it's -17 is the high. The high.
Oh my God.
Not the low tonight when it's everyone sleeping and slumbering in their nice little,
that was the
high.
Know,
their big blankets, and they're cozying up with their loved ones and your fucking bullshit soupy stupid sappy shit. No. The high. The hottest it's gonna get today is -17 without the wind chill. They're saying that it's going to get down to, with the wind chill, it's going to be down to about -41 degrees tonight.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, -41. There's no getting used to that.
It's literally, right now, Chicago is actually colder than the North Pole. it's on record. There was a thing my sister sent me about Al Roker, and she's like, hey, you having fun? She's texting me. You cunt. You having fun? I'm watching the news. Al Roker said he's never seen anything like this in his career, and Chicago is the same temperature is colder than the North Pole. And I'm like, thanks. I won't repeat what I sent back to her because we're not speaking anymore.
Oh, okay. I was going to say because you already said you called her a cunt. So.
Yeah, no. But she told me about that. So it really is. It's literally, it's a matter of 10, 15 feet that you walk and you're done. You're absolutely done. Yeah, you know how when, the polar bear plunge?
Yes. You know, when people they just had that over the weekend.
Exactly. Usually happens around New Year's or so February. That's basically you going to turn your car on. And then going back inside the hotel room. You run, turn the car on, and you sprint back into the foyer of the Holiday Inn.
That's weird, because that's what I sound like when I'm having sex with Beverly. I'm like, sorry.
Oh, well, she's been known to be frigid herself.
Dude, it's...
I've never felt anything like
it. I don't think it was really that cold in Edmonton. It couldn't have been. It wouldn't have been that. Like, there wasn't a point where if we were out for 30 seconds, we were getting frostbite. So it wasn't that cold.
In the summertime, they're like, put sunscreen on.
Yeah.
Or a heat wave, watch out for your neighbors.
Yep.
You know, all that. They have all that kind of stuff like that, watch out for your neighbors. But it's their life. But now they're putting shit on TV, on the news, going, if you're outside and you have exposed skin for more than 5 minutes, you may experience signs of frostbite. So what you do? And I'm like, fucking 5 minutes frostbite?
Yeah.
And then you go and make a phone call, and your hands cramp up, and it's basically the microwave of cold temperatures.
Just
think about how fast a microwave turns regular temperature into hot. This is how, you know, you could sit on the phone for 20 minutes and then go inside and go, hoof, my hands are cramped up. This happens in, like, the microwave version of it, time-wise. You know what I mean? Got what I'm saying?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's crazy. But, of course, I had to make it out here. right? So, yeah,
We went from, it was brutally cold Thursday and Friday night, or Friday and Saturday night. And then yesterday, like brutally cold, like, you know, five degrees, 8 degrees. And then this is the only time we're allowed to talk about the weather, because this is like, it's amazing. It's once in a lifetime here.
Well, we're not saying, hey, how's the weather over there? We're saying this shit's fucking
this
weird.
This is nuts. And then it went on yesterday, got up to like almost 40. And the snow that we had gotten, it's almost all gone. And now tonight, it's supposed to get down to about 5 or so, and then warm up again the rest of the week. And there's another Arctic, some sort of blast cold that is, I think that's what's hitting you guys right now. I heard it's going to hit us, but now I see it on my phone, on my weather, that it's supposed to be 30s and 40s the rest of the week, even into the weekend. So who knows? But this, it's, I think it was almost zero in Georgia today or yesterday.
Yeah.
So this is not just, hey, you know, once, you know, a little snow happened in Dallas during a Super Bowl and everybody's making a big deal. Like, this is truly record-breaking cold. And
Tulsa, Oklahoma had the high of like 7. Little Rock, Arkansas, all the way down to, you know, almost like the northern tip of, I mean, even down into Florida, even Miami and stuff like that. They were getting down in the 40s. Places like Dallas and stuff. It's just this huge Arctic ridge that, you know, that's swooping down. It really is. It's kind of like a, I mean, it's not a historic. It's not a historic on the numbers. It's historic on the wide range of how big it is.
Oh, yeah. You know? And where it's going to, you know.
Exactly. How far south it's going.
Yeah. You know, if it was, you know, 10 degrees in Chicago with some wind, you'd be like, you know what, that's what happens sometimes in Chicago, you know, in the winter.
Exactly. Fargo, North Dakota. Oh, it's 112 below. All right. Yeah. Well, they know that.
Exactly. That's why they're all drunks up there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing to do because they're trapped indoors all winter.
You start getting to, you know, Disneyland, and you know, they're shutting it down because it's actually covered in ice. Yeah, they could actually skate, and, you know, it really is crazy.
Yeah. So now, when did you get out there?
Put it this way. I was supposed to be here Chicago O'Hare, at 3:55.
Oh, wait. Hold on before you get started. Hold on. I forgot.
The Conti and Kenny Show presents Storytime with Kenny Michaels.
Go ahead.
When did you get that? I never heard that before.
Well, you know what? You're too busy telling a story to hear me play the actual clip. So go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was joking. Trying to sneak a sip in.
I wish you were, really.
Yeah. I'm gonna end this whole thing real quick.
So go ahead.
So I'm supposed to land in Chicago O'Hare at 3:55. Yesterday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Right, I'm going to fly out on a Sunday. Figured the airports might be a little bit crowded because everyone's going home from the holiday, you know, New Year's, college kids, which it was. I was supposed to be in Chicago at 3:55. Probably hit my hotel room somewhere around. I would get the rental car. I got to drive about an hour to the hotel. Figure 5, 6, 7 o'clock, something like that. I'll be in a hotel, you know, nice and warm and toasty. 5:15 a.m. Monday morning, I finally fucking check into my hotel. I went to Newark Airport at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday, and I did not get into my hotel room until 5 o'clock this fucking morning.
Almost 24 hours.
Almost 24 hours of fucking...
To go from New York or New Jersey to Chicago.
To Chicago. I could have driven there and almost gone back. Driven there and gone back.
Yeah, takes about... I think when we drove to Indianapolis, it usually takes about 10 hours or 11 hours. And then Chicago's like 2.5 hours northwest of there. So even if you say 13 hours... You could have driven there and then been in Pennsylvania.
I could have been like a casino. You know, yeah, yeah. I could have been. You know, an hour, 2 hours away from my house. Yeah, driven there and back. I didn't fucking. I went through security. 8:30 in the morning. Everything's fine. It was the same. It was the kind of, you know, the hazy weather. It's raining. Blah blah blah.
Right.
They had the. They wanted to ice down the plane, so they iced down the plane. We were a little bit delayed in Newark. Then I had to fly to Detroit. They had to de-ice the plane again, and then there was a 2-hour layover.
Now what's with all the de-icing? What's the worst that could happen?
The plane ices up and it crashes. That's the fucking worst thing that could happen. All the mechanics don't work.
Shit happens all. Well, you get Sully in there. You land on the Hudson. Go ahead.
Yeah, you land on a Hudson.
Yeah. you land in Madison Square Garden during a Ranger game. That's all. Whoosh, right on the ice.
Yeah, yeah. When it's, you know, when it's 41 degrees below, you make sure Brian Boitano is your fucking airline pilot. Or Johnny Weir. Someone who could spin on ice.
Hey, guys, we're going to plie into the landing strip.
I'm going to do a triple Lindy. Okay, Bagola, get me home.
Triple Lindy.
Gotta go to Chicago. You AIDS infested.
Oh, silk. Easy.
Sorry.
What's wrong with you?
No, they didn't. Yeah, Brian Boitano just came out. Did you see that?
Dude, whenever.
He was in the 1984 Olympics.
I'm sorry, dude. If a figure skater comes out, that should not. You should be not allowed to print it as a story, okay?
Right.
You should not be allowed to print it. It's just, thank you, continue. Go continue with your figure skating.
Right. Anybody with the name Boy and Tan in his last name.
And oh.
It's got to be a fruity.
It's just a.
And right. Oh, yeah. Boy Tan.
Oh! Right in there. Right in there.
Did you do the fist move too when you just did that?
No, I know I didn't. I had it on the mouth, on the mouse. The little right in there. Yeah, I did the fist there for that one. Kenny likes when I do the right in there.
Because you do the fist move.
Yeah, right in there. So.
Yeah, so I got to Detroit, and 2-hour layover. It's snowing. It's getting worse and worse. And then I start.
And you're
seeing
in Detroit, dude. You're in Detroit. Even if you're only you just in the airport, right? You're just hanging out in the airport.
In the airport. Yeah, yeah.
God,
I'm not like hanging out, you know, with Eminem and some bullshit.
Oh,
no.
God, what a nightmare.
Man.
Dude, I would have quit already. I would have just come back and be like, dude, listen, I'm not doing this anymore. All right? You should be able to Skype into the place and have a big video of you, like a futuristic movie, and you could watch them all do their work and tell them how to do this and how to do that. You should be able to do that by now. Isn't every other commercial on every other radio show about these meeting.com and meeting video? Put a friggin' stand on top of the counter. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but it's sort of a fast food, not a fast food. It's a restaurant where it's taken and people sit there. Put your dumb face on a screen, and you would be like Max Headroom, and it would just see your fucking big forehead, and you could just look at them, and you have cameras, and you could tell them what to do, and do it right from your house. That's it.
I would love to turn
20 hours to get to Chicago. For what? Get your bratwurst, Chicago. Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, and if I see one more fucking person order a hot dog with tomato slices on it, I'm going to slit their throat.
Dude, really?
Yeah, absolutely. There's
hot
a
dog
place
with
that
tomato
was.
Slices. I mean, it doesn't sound. Like, I'll say right now, it doesn't sound like it would be awful, but why would you pay for that? Like, you know what I mean? Why would you go out of your way for that? If you're sitting there and you're making hot dogs at your house and there happened to be a plate of sliced tomatoes, all right, maybe I would throw it on. But to actually go
I'm
out of your way.
I'm not putting it on a hot dog. Well, I'm just,
it doesn't sound disgusting. It just sounds stupid to pay an extra 50 cents or whatever it is to put tomatoes on your hot dog.
Chicago style.
Chicago style. Yeah,
they,
okay.
They came up with Chicago style.
Chicago style, yeah.
Because it's just an extra left.
And their pizza, it's just an extra piece of dough. That's all. It's just, it's a round Sicilian pie. We got it here in New York. Shut up.
Yeah, beat it with your tomato slices and pickles. Who puts a pickle on a hot dog, you freakola?
Do they put pickles on their hot dogs, too?
It's yeah, they're white-ass Brent, boom, in the chat room. There's the Chicago-style hot dog. That's not a fucking dog. There should be some guy named Muhammad serving that thing out of a lukewarm fucking bucket on a corner of
that he just
of
gently
Bleecker
dipped,
Street and 7th Ave.
That he just dipped his hands in so he can get a nice cleaning.
Yeah.
You clean your hands in the same water that the dogs are actually in. It gives it the nice flavor, nice fingernail flavored hot dogs.
Yeah, that's especially this time of year, he keeps his car keys in there so the locks don't freeze. Just puts a nice warm key in there in his door and his fucking stupid trailer. Anyway, it really, like, I was in the airport, and what happened was is that we got on the plane, sat there for 2 hours, and then they were like, "Well, we're stuck in the snow. We have to get off the plane." So we get off the plane. Then they're like, okay. Then we get back on the plane. Then they're like, we have to de-ice the plane. So they de-ice the plane. Then they're like, well, they're shutting the airport down because they have to plow the runways. So we have to get off the plane. Then we get back on the plane. Then they have to fucking de-ice it. And now we're at the point where the flight crew has gone over their allotted hours of working. They can't work over a certain amount of hours.
Yeah.
So now the captain gets on and he's like,
we are over our hours and we're just trying to find another flight crew to take you over to Chicago. We want to get you there. Don't worry about that. We know that. We're going to get you there.
Are there any pilots in the house?
Yeah, basically, yeah. They just kind of took one of the cooks from Chili's. They got one of the girls that drive those little buggies, and some guy with a fucking Gilligan's Island captain's hat.
Yeah,
and we're like,
somebody
get
took
him
a
to
Captain
Chicago.
Steubing hat from a Love Boat cruise.
Exactly. They're like, we want to close this. We want to vacuum. Okay, we have to vacuum. We want to close Detroit Airport down. We need to clean up. Get these fuckers out of here.
Exactly.
Get
and if Chicago people, ready. And let's face it, there are everybody's. Oh, there's nobody that comes into Detroit. They just keep leaving. You know, they went from 2 million to 700,000 people in the last 40 years. There's a reason for that. Okay, so there's not too many people coming into Detroit that aren't leaving 10 minutes later.
You know what it is? They're not going into Detroit. They're going. It's a stopway.
Oh,
stopover from midway through the country. It's a nice airport.
Oh,
and
well,
they've got a trolley up on top of it. It's a nice airport, but all you hear is people speaking German and they're foreigners. And
you know
not,
what it is? It's like it's like a stop sign in a bad neighborhood where you don't even stop. You just do the roll, you keep going, and then you just keep going. That's what Detroit is. It's a stop sign in a bad neighborhood, and you just you slow down, you look, and you make sure to know all the cars are coming. And as all the people start coming to your car because they think you want to buy weed because you're a white dude in a fucking black neighborhood, you're gone. You just go.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what Detroit is.
Yeah, it's a nice airport, but it's just passing through. Just passing through.
Yeah, exactly. No. Don't. No. I don't need any weed. No ganja. I'm good. I got my own. I'm good. Thank you, my friend, sir. I'm good, sir. The door's locked, sir. I'm good. Thank you, sir. Onward.
Yeah. Onward. Exactly. Exactly. So now, here's the kicker. Let me get this off my chest. Here's the kicker.
Oh boy.
Is I'm like, all right. I got to meet my friend Tommy. He's coming from North Carolina. We're gonna meet in O'Hare. He's gonna come down. We work together.
Don't you ever go over me, you Jew motherfucker. Sorry. Go ahead, Tommy.
That man is showing to look funny on my table.
Every morning, though, he's with his little Tommy Jr. Go ahead.
There's nothing we can do. He's gone. He's gone. What do you mean? There's nothing we can do. It's over.
Just got it with your story.
All right.
You're an ass.
This is the worst Goodfellas 30 seconds in the world.
I know. We went from Casino to Goodfellas because that's why
I know.
Tommy.
You were just. So he goes from Charlotte and he goes to Chicago. He's there. He's waiting for me. So I figure, all right, let me get on the plane at about 8 o'clock or so. And then hour behind Chicago. I'll be there in an hour. One hour less. I'll get there at 8 o'clock. Me and him will go have some dinner, check in a hotel room, blah, 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 the whole thing. And we'll be fine. So now I get stuck on a fucking tarmac in this plane. By the time I get off the plane, the grills are closed. So I've had pretty much all day to eat. I had a fucking quarter of a ham sandwich out of like a food rack a cycle. You know what I mean? It was just like this machine that gave you like chicken salad. And it was probably chicken salad from the 70s.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean they're packed well, but it really is. It's just
you can actually see markings of Tipperillo stains on the chicken salad wrapping.
But, you know, so I had like a couple of bites of that and I wanted to go and eat regular dinner. But now, boom, I'm done. So I start having a bunch of drinks and then they shut down. And by the time out of necessity, I stopped drinking at like 9 o'clock because everything was closed and I was stuck on a plane and we were on the ground and they weren't giving us any drinks. It was just really one of the worst experiences I've had in a long time. Over 20 hours worth of travel in one day. It was unbelievable.
That stinks.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God. Now when are you back?
I'll be back. I'm coming back the 17th.
One more Skype,
and then I should be home for a good portion.
All right.
I hope.
Cool. Yeah. Make sure they keep de-icing that plane.
Yeah. Have you ever been on a de-ice?
No, dude. I'm a disaster on good flights, okay? I've never been on a flight that, like, had, like, the... you know how, like, some people say where you'll have, like, turbulence where the plane will drop like 200 feet. I've never even had that, and I'm a disaster. So I can't imagine being on there when they got when there's something going on that's trying to keep the plane from crashing. You know what I mean? Besides exactly. Regular maintenance, I don't even know if I can handle
it. What it looks like is like, you know, the guys that fix the poles, the electrical poles.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like one of those trucks. And one guy drives in and he's got a gun. What he does is he washes the plane down with this pink solution.
Okay.
That de-ices the plane. Okay. Then they spray this whole plane, takes about 20, 30 minutes with this pink stuff. Then they de-ice the plane and then they, I forget what it's called, de-ice and then preventative maintenance or whatever. They add the green solution. That lasts an hour and a half, okay? It lasts an hour and a half where the ice doesn't build up. So they spray, they de-ice it, chip away the ice, spray the pink, then they spray the green, and the captain comes on and he's like, we just got de-iced. Sorry it took so long, folks. They told us we were really iced up. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm like, oh, so they give us the green. So here's – I sent Otto a text. I was trying to give people play-by-play. Let me find what I've sent to Otto. Let me see. Is this one? Here it is. Hey, pal. I'm on Buddy Holly Airlines, stuck in Detroit, on my way to Chicago. And I said, did you get home from Kansas yet? FYI, Amelia Earhart has the window seat, and the captain won't stop playing La Bamba and Freebird over the intercom. And the Lindbergh baby won't shut his face so I can get some shut-eye. I should have flown Jolly Fats Weehawken. Jolly Fats Weehawken was playing in a Jerry Lewis movie.
Oh, man. God damn, man.
But I'm literally on the Big Bopper should be flying this fucking thing. Because it was just pouring snow. And I'm like, I'm literally looking like, how... The little taxi thing that pushes the plane out of the gate?
Yes.
Stuck. Had to get a tow truck.
Oh, my God.
It was stuck in snow.
It's like you got to get a tugboat for the tugboat.
Exactly. You got to get a tugboat for the tugboat. Exactly. Oh. Yeah. The captain's like, well, the guy, he's just trying to push us out the taxi. He's just slipping in and sliding.
You know what? Give me a 76 town car, all right? I'll just drive out there, all right? I'll throw all my shit in the back seat. And well, that's just a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. So the plane got stuck, and then the guy slipping and sliding said I had to get the plow, and then we got stuck. It literally got to the point now. I have a thing where I snore, But if I'm sitting asleep, like sitting sitting up and
what
like
do you, mean you have a thing, have like an, you have a thing that you snore. It's what you do. It's part of your. It's part of who you are.
It's part of who I am. Yes, yeah. I do snoring. I need an operation, but you know I have to remove.
Yeah,
all
you
the
need
stuff
your
inside.
Mouth shown shut. Shown shut. Shown shut.
I gotta get all the guts out of the innards in the you know the nasal passages.
Okay. Okay.
But at this point, it was like, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I was like, I don't give a shit. I'm fucking snoozing because I had had, you know, I was
oh,
in the
boy.
Bar.
Oh boy.
I was in the bar watching, you know, watching football. You
oh,
know,
okay.
We've got, you know, everybody was delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a party, kind of an atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. What are you
going
to do? You just try to enjoy it, you know?
Exactly. And it was fun. You know, people okay. meeting people all over the place.
Right.
It's the day start. Normally when I travel, I enjoy meeting people. And when you go to like airport bars and stuff, it's everyone's going somewhere. Everyone has a story. Everyone's been somewhere. So sometimes it's kind of cool where you're like, oh, where are you going? Where are you headed? Where are you from? You know, it's kind of stuff, you know, you meet somebody from, you know, the same town you grew up in or, you know, neighbors or it's kind of weird.
And Kenny, Dave Sires in the chat said, were you confused by all the non-leather helmets?
Nice.
Our pal Dave Sires, comedian, he's got his movie out called Archie Black, The Worst. And hopefully that'll be out soon. I think it's ArchieBlackTheWorst.com. Check it out, the trailer to his movie. Go ahead, Kenny.
So you know, in the afternoon, before I started to tie one on, I really needed to get a chance to tie one on. I really didn't. I don't know why, but it just didn't happen.
Okay.
But beforehand, when I was like really aggravated with like all this shit, I went from like enjoy. I normally enjoy the adventure of traveling.
Of course.
I like
You're
it.
You're
the I
don't Uncle mind Traveling
it.
Matt from the from keep Fraggle the Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, it's ArchieBlackMovie.com. It's great. It's got a – I'm sorry. He's just put the correct link in the chat. It's ArchieBlackMovie.com. It's got a bunch of great comics like Jay Moore and Jim Norton and a bunch of comics in there. Check out the
Me.
Trailer for it. we're also in it too. Go ahead.
Did you say Traveling Matt from Fraggle Rock?
Uncle Traveling Matt from Fraggle Rock, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Thank you.
I thought that's what you that mm-hmm. just said.
That's what I said.
But normally it is. Normally it's kind of like an adventure and you meet people and stuff. You know, I've hung out with like, you know, a football, NFL people and baseball people. You just Britney Spears the one time. Didn't hang out with her. She just passed by me in a buggy.
On
but
a gurney, yeah.
Yeah, you interact, you know, you're in the same thing, you're traveling all around. Yesterday, before I got to this bar in Detroit, I really was just like, if I would have punched somebody in the face for no reason, it was going to happen. Because I heard there's two college kids in front of me, and it's from Newark to Chicago, and we're already delayed. And just to hear them, they were in their, I don't know, 21, 22, something like that.
Oh, it's okay. So easily hateable. Go ahead.
And everything was, yeah, well, like, you know, calculus, when I was in there, it was like, oh, wow. And I went to Michigan, and then you went to, like, Rutgers, and then I went, like, and I literally just wanted, I could have choked both of them with both arms.
You would have liked to have choked both of them, exactly.
Yeah. All I had to do was stand up and rear naked fucking choked them and put them right in their seats, and it would have been asleep forever because I was – and they were loud. Everybody else was, like, sleeping. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. You kind of take a nap. You know what I mean?
Right.
And these two were just going on about
their – girls
stupid.
Or guys?
No, it was one girl and one guy. They were probably about the same age. And one guy's like, oh, here's the kicker. They're talking – this is going on for about a fucking hour and a half, okay? And they're talking about stuff and nonstop, talking about college. He goes to Michigan. Both his parents are lawyers. She's like, oh, my father's a lawyer, too. My mother's a teacher. And they're talking about law and this. So my brother goes to this one. He wants to get into NYU. What's his LSAT fucking thing? MCAT. All this bullshit.
Right.
And I fucking almost lost it. She started talking about books. And she's like, oh, well, I read this one. I read that. I read that. And she's like, do you read? And he's like, I wasn't a big reader, but now I am. And then he goes, she goes, oh, well, what are you reading? And he goes, now listen, now make sure you understand. They're talking nonstop. This guy's basically right. hitting on her, but she's hitting on too for an hour and a fucking half almost. An hour and a half.
Just nonsense. Just bullshit coming out of her mouth.
Bullshit, absolutely. Just right. so happened that two 20-somethings that have similar fucking, right. upbringings and lawyer, whatnot, you know, fucking spoon-fed, whatever. Boom, they're next to each other. So she goes, well, you know, I'm a big reader. And he's like, yeah, I never used to be, but I am now. She's like, well, what are you reading now? And he said something. It was like, blah, blah, blah.
I wish
he was
reading his death certificate. It would have been great. it's impossible.
And she goes, oh, I've never heard of that. And he goes, yeah, well, it's a lot of mystery, mystic kind of stuff, kind of a medieval, supernatural kind of a thing. And she's all like, Harry Potter. He goes, no, more adult. He goes, there's a lot of sex and a lot of gore. And right there, she was like, oh, okay, yeah. And then boom, they started opening up magazines. He totally fucking ruined the whole thing.
Oh, he went too far in the description to try to see, hey, how can I incorporate a little sex talk without just bringing in sex talk? Let me bring it in through another vehicle in the books that I'm reading.
Exactly. And you remember when Kirk Gibson hit the home run as a Dodger and he was rounding second and he gave his fist,
pumping his arm,
pumping his elbow inside back. That's what I was doing when I was like, you blew it. You just blew it. You blew it, dude. I'm like, you fucking blew it. He tried to sneak in.
Yeah, he tried to sneak it in.
She's like, well, what are you reading? Like, you know, of course I understand more intelligent people than myself are always reading something. So when you ask an intelligent person, what are they reading? Someone has an answer for that. Me, it's basically your eyes. basically reading your body language towards me to see if I can, you know, maybe put my hand down your pants there, sweetie. That's basically all I'm reading. Newspaper. I like the Times. The Post is good, too.
I heard he was going to try this.
Nice lesbian, big tits, evaporated milk, lick that snatch, sandpaper tongue, dirty whore cunt.
But it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And he was going to be being like you in the 40s, you know?
Yeah. Well, it turned her off when he was like, it's kind of fantasy medieval. So she's thinking like, you know, I don't know. Some kind of Hunger Games or you know, like a Harry Potter thing. And he's like, the mysticism hasn't come on yet. They're hinting about it. But right now it's just a lot of gore and a lot of gruesomeness and a lot of sex.
Yeah, I'm reading this book. There's a lot of
Pulsa!
In it, you know, and I just don't know. So what do you think, huh? What do you think, honey? I've been having a conversation with my brown eye. It's not just going to work. It's just not going to work. So, fucking idiot. He needed to do was...
Hold on a second. I have a test for you. I'm on chapter 7. It's called chapter...
Pulsa!
There you go.
Or it could be... See, if he was smart, instead of talking about books, he should have spoke about himself. A little bit, but in a nice way to kind of say, hey, there's things happening in his life. And maybe even try to get it into song. Something like this.
All day, all night, you feel my heat. Feel my heat.
I think we should repeat that again.
Feel my heat.
Feel my heat. Yeah.
I think it would have worked.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. That's great, though, man. He thought he could sneak on by because then what happens is you harmlessly bring in sex, but very ambiguous. Like, it had nothing to do with them having sex. It just brings in the conversation to sex, man. Like, hey, you know what? It's a book that's about sex. And then maybe she's like, well, I'm reading this book and it's about, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, so you know, and then you could start talking about, you know, are you with somebody? Are you married? Because that's kind of goes hand in hand. And then you can go down that road and
he ended up hitting a stop sign.
Yeah, and it took me off guard because I'm going, all right, this guy's doing pretty good because yeah. he knew a lot of they knew a lot about each other's kind of situations.
Yeah.
They both took, you know, all the college tests, the MCAT, the LSAT. They had brothers and sisters that were
yeah.
that are going into law school, and this one's going to NYU, this one's going to Columbia.
Yeah, then he got fancy, and then he tried this.
He got
my
fancy.
Naked body is like a raw turkey.
You know? And then she's like,
I want to win money. A dollar makes me holla, honey, boo boo.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
not gonna work.
No, and it really was. He was doing fine. It was pissing me off because he was doing really good. You know, and he, you know, they're kind of the upper crust kind of the schmoozies. You know what I mean, or whatever you call them. You know,
I think he should have went reverse psychology on her. You know what I mean? I think he should have went like reverse psychology. I don't know why this is. Oh, there it is. And he would have been just like out of nowhere.
Get your hand off my penis!
You know what I mean? Like even if she wasn't, it just she'd be like, man, this guy's a little out of control. You know
this
what
is
I mean?
Democracy manifest.
Yeah, so
it was great though. And literally for an hour and a half, they wouldn't shut up. Boom, he says that, and then it was. Flipping through magazines, quiet.
That's
and
great.
I'm behind. I'm
you just
going,
hear the paper. You could just see her licking her fingers, turning from page to page. Yeah. That's great.
I mean, it was. I mean, fucking from 180 miles an hour to zero, just because he had a fantasy book that had debauch. It was like he's like a lot of gruesomeness and sex, and boom, done, over. That's it. And they were quiet afterwards. They even actually both wound up falling asleep.
I heard him actually. I heard he actually said this when she started reading.
Oh, I'm so awkward.
It's just might have been really weird, you know? Just weird shit. Oh,
yeah, it was
man.
Great.
That's awesome, dude. That's great.
Just to watch someone fail.
Just to see somebody just literally, you're seeing the shitting of the proverbial bed.
You know what it is? It's like one of the flying Willendas. They're on the tightrope, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, this guy's doing really good. This guy's doing really... Whoops, he's gone. You know what I mean? It's like, this kid's doing amazing. He's doing a great job. Whoop, gone. So, oh, there he goes. Smash into the cavern. He's done. It really, you know, because you don't expect a flying Willenda to
just gone.
You don't want him to fail. You're rooting for him, and you're like, wow, how did he get that far across the Grand Canyon on a fucking tightrope?
Yeah.
He's doing great. He's doing great.
Here he goes. He's almost there. And
because a flying Willenda has never held on more than about a split second. You know what I mean? He hasn't just dangled there. Their knees buckle, the leg shakes twice, their head first into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Enjoy San Juan there, flying Willenda.
Enjoy San Juan.
Right? Isn't that where he ate it? Right?
It's like, hey, so, yeah, things are great. Thank you for asking, you know. And I'm reading this book, and it's got a lot of gore and sex in it. Oh. I'm just going to read now, sir. I would appreciate it if you just looked out the window.
He even actually, he tried to recover.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
and he said, he's like, and he goes, you know, well, I'm going to law school. I haven't read them, but I heard John Grisham writes a lot of law books. Like trying to,
yeah,
like,
of course. You know,
He was the Willenda trying to hang on with one, or like Willendas never hang on. They just try to grab at a rope and then they fall. So he was Willendaing, his knees buckled, tried to go all the way down to grab the rope, grab the cable, but he just slipped by trying to give him a Grisham reference.
Goodbye.
Oh, Grisham's an author. he's just like Stephen King, Edgar Allan Poe, Dickens.
he did try to recover, though. He did try to recover. He was like,
I'm a nice guy.
And nothing happened. Nothing.
Well, he tried to recover by mentioning that he's trying to go into law school again, and then a John Grisham novel. Not going to happen, Rainmaker. Beat it. Eat rocks.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah, it was really funny.
That's awesome. All right. You know what? Before we take a break, I do want to I want to make a not even an announcement, but it's a very cool thing. Want to basically welcome a new show to More Like Radio, who I know personally. It's the It's All About Me podcast, which has is Holly and Andrew, which is Halls and Rorschach something on Twitter, whatever it is. But they are now on More Like Radio, and they broadcast on Saturdays at noon, from like noon to like two.
There we go.
Yeah, so they join the group, the family, and I'm glad. I love those guys, man. They're cool. Holly's cool. I always bust Andy's ball, Rorschach, but I like him. They're good people, and I wish them luck. And I'm glad to be, glad that they're with us.
Do they do the show together? No, they Skype, right?
They Skype. No, they Skype. Yeah, she's out in Seattle, and he's in Alabama I think Louisiana, somewhere down there where there's just shit everywhere. I forgot.
Gotcha.
Yeah, somewhere in the South.
You had fun doing the show, right?
I'm trying to do. Sometimes I call in, but eventually. I listen to them because I'm in my car on Saturdays in the afternoon, so I usually listen to them do their thing.
I don't think I'm ever in the. You know what's funny is I'm never in a car in early.
No.
Not on the weekends unless I have to go somewhere.
that's you.
That's why like daytime divas and friggin' 12 o'clock on a Saturday. You know, I'm barely scratching my balls at that point.
Yeah.
You know, unless I have something really have to do, I just enjoy that time for myself.
Yep. I understand that.
But I'll do a show too. You know, all I have to do is I'll just have to I'll just have to readjust my schedule and have that at like midnight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sleep until midnight and then wake up and then by time it's 12 on Saturday, it'll be my new midnight.
Right.
Which and then I'll be a raging lunatic.
Yeah. All right. But they're really cool. I think you would have a lot of fun on their show. So and their fans / friends are great. They're all on Twitter, and I've become friends with a lot of them on Twitter, and they're all very cool. And some of them are actually listeners of the show. You know, like Bitter Chick and Ro and Peppermint Patty. Patty started listening to the show because she heard me on their show. So we've gotten some listeners because of them. So they were
very nice.
Yeah, they're very cool. So wanted to welcome them. It's the all, and I don't know how to find their stuff because it's all about me with 11 E's and 4 exclamation points. I don't know how to find them. Just Google it. You'll figure it out.
How about changing it to all about E's?
Yeah, exactly.
To make it simpler.
It's all about E's. Yeah. I don't know how to, you can find them. They're on Twitter and but they're on noon Eastern Standard Time. On More Like Radio. So welcome.
Very nice.
Yeah, welcome Holly and Andy.
Yeah, we got P-Rock, Scrambler, White Ass Brent in chat room.
Yeah, of course.
Kind of busy tonight.
Yeah, well, P-Rock's a fucking disaster. He's from The Red Show, and Scrambler is now part of The Red Show. And our producer, White Ass Brent, who's just on the money with everything, he's there. So, all right, you want to take a break? And, dude, we got some really cool stuff. Dave Ingram has a brand new band. An album out, and I wanted to play some bits and pieces of their songs. And we have so much shit to do today. So
yeah, I'm gonna I'm right by an exit. You know what I mean? So I can go outside and smoke a cigarette. I'm gonna attempt 41 below.
It's 41 all right, give it below. A shot, man. Let us know how it comes out.
Yeah, I've got my little Star Wars pants and my. And my little hoodie.
What if the smoke freezes as it comes out of your mouth?
It definitely it's different.
It's got to be different. It's got to be almost like steam.
It's I've never experienced anything like it. It's so weird, man. It really is. You're just like you're basically you don't have time to do anything. You know what I mean? You can't stand there and just like have a smoke. I'm gonna light the smoke and then like maybe light. You know, like my hands on fire with the lighter just to kind of keep them. You can't. You just can't do anything. You can't move around. It's a matter of seconds. It really is out of control. It's unbelievable. And I don't wish it on anybody.
No.
But could you imagine being in the fucking Ice Age? And this is how you lived? You're like, oh, yeah, go find a rabbit. We're starving. of dad. Bring it back to the cave. And we need some more skins. Mama's cold. There's a naked baby. You know, they're in a cave.
Yeah,
and, you know, luckily, they made fire. You know, but just imagine them being, you know, just walking around in this. Like, find Florida, you weirdo.
Yeah, just go. That's why whenever I hear about anybody who, like, grew up either even in this area or south of here. And, hey, listen, my ex-girlfriend, who's from Cape May, she spent some of her time in Florida. Dude, she moved to Minnesota. She's a beach person. She loves the beach. She's from Cape May. Grew up in Wildwood. Her family owned a hotel in Wildwood. She lives in fucking Minnesota now. It's like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you do it. Because I won't do that. I will not go out of my way to move somewhere where it's going to be colder than it is here. I'm cool here, and that's okay. But I'll never understand that.
Yeah, not going to happen. No. Not usually.
It's usually for a woman or a job. You know, that's the only thing. It's not for the sights or for the cheap beer. Let's go to Green Bay so I can have a piece of the Packers. Who cares?
You know what it normally is, and a lot of times you'll move to someone like somewhere like an Austin or a Nashville. I can see that, you know, kind of being like, all right, yeah, let's move there, and just kind of, you know, I'm changing careers. I just want, you know, when you're younger, not now.
Right.
You know what I mean? That ship has sailed many years ago.
Right.
But, you know, but yeah, I could see going somewhere. But why, you know, like I always thought about dropping everything and fucking going to Hawaii. Go to Hawaii. I'll find something. I'll be a garbage man. I don't give a shit. I'm in fucking Hawaii. you know?
I can live
in a little fucking cottage.
I would be freaked out being that far away from like civilization. I would get like freaked, you know? It would freak me after a while. Being on like a fucking island like that far away. Like to know that to be on the plate as the, you know, the United States. I'd have to take like a 7-hour flight. I wouldn't be able to handle that. It would be freaked out to me. I don't know.
Well, it's more than that. You'd have to go to California and then go.
But I'm saying to get on the map here, you know, in the real United States. Hawaii's not real. That's not the real United States. Neither is Alaska, okay? It's not real. This is the real United States, the continental United States. This is where we are. And to know that I'm like a 7-hour fucking plane ride.
Over water.
You know, to get here. Nope. Not for me. Nope.
Yeah, there's only one fucking dude. That's Sullenberger. That's the only one I'm fucking letting drive me to fucking Hawaii.
Exactly. So I think when we come back, maybe we'll introduce David. I was told by Colorado Dickhead, he gets mad if you drop the ID. He doesn't like Dave Ingram. He likes David Ingram. So we'll...
Sure,
so
I would
we'll,
too.
Yeah, so we'll play Dave Ingram's new band called Among the Dead Men. It's a self-titled new album with like two other dudes who are like pretty big in the business. We don't realize how pretty well-known David is, you know? Yeah. From his, but I listened to some of the songs.
He goofs off with us, but he actually is a pretty big dude.
Pretty well known, yeah. He's actually a pretty well known dude. So let's
stop calling him Dave.
It's you know what I'll do? I'll start calling him D. What do you think of that? D Ing, yo. I'll call him D Ing. I'll call him Ding. That's what I'll do. I'll start calling him Dingy. Ding Dingy. That's what I'll call him.
He's, you know, he's like 6'8", and he can cast spells.
All right, I'll call him David. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into the David Ingram new project called Among the Dead Men.
Him and his friends, they've been around for years, and most of the shows that he does is centered around music.
Well, yeah, you know, because he does
all different and of course, kinds of music.
Everybody knows who he is from the show because, you know, we talk about him all the time. It's Metal Breakfast Radio. and yeah. Lambert's Basement and all that, but there's something interesting about one of his songs.
So let's check it out.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. It's the Conti and Kenny Show on More Like Radio and ContiandKenny.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! 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 God, oh, no!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? God. Not as painful as that. Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
We're Metal Breakfast Radio. Would you like to hear such tracks like this awesomeness?
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
So, okay, how about the awesomeness extravaganza of this?
Play that funky music, Wiley boy. Play that funky music right. Play that funky music.
It doesn't matter, gentlemen, because I like a fresh one out.
And now the sound of John Denver being strangled.
W, W, W.
BreakfastRadio.com.
Language Basement on Radio Free Satan.
If you're looking for some jazz, then come on down to where it's bigger, on the inside. Lambert's Basement, for all your big band, swing, and jazz needs. Exclusive to RadioFreeSatan.com.
Hey, listeners, yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Hello. My name's Dave Ingram.
And it's me, the Impossible D.
And we are...
Rubbish!
Metal Breakfast Radio. And when we're not drinking a few frothy ales...
There's a drunk just come on.
Or when we're not slagging amateur musicians...
Banjo fucker!
And telling them what's exactly wrong with their music...
Bastards.
Or what's right, that could be a quicker way out of it.
Get on with it!
Then we're listening to... The Conti and Kenny Show.
Load of bollocks.
We have to.
Keep listening. It's The Conti and Kenny Show.
.com.
Do you know that Joe has moved in with his girlfriend?
How's that working out?
My girlfriend is a squirter, and it flooded the whole basement.
I would rather be dead than not have cock.
All right. Here's a little bit of Down Among the Dead Men. Down Among the Dead Men. David Ingram's new band. And this is the song from the self-titled album, Down Among the Dead Men.
My first comedy DVD is going to be called Wherever I Fall, There Shall I Be Buried.
Look at him, dude. That's him on the fucking vocals, dude. That's scary. Like, we goof on him. Isn't that scary?
I don't goof on him.
Oh, then I just do then.
That's all you.
But what's amazing is, like, you know, their band, what they, their show, the Metal Breakfast Radio show, they trash, and sometimes, you know, they give props to different bands, whether they're mostly amateur, you know, bands. And whether you like this music or not, it doesn't matter, because you can say whatever you like, but they're holding their heads up high, like, hey, you don't like it, fuck you, but we're badass. Like, you know what I mean? Even if you don't like it, you kind of don't. It's almost like somebody who doesn't like an old fast car because they're not maybe, you know, like maybe it's a really like a monster car from like the 60s. And you might be like, oh, that thing's an ugly thing. But, you know, you take that thing out and you're fucking just doing, all like, right, you know, quarter
real
mile,
real quick,
12 second quarter miles.
Real quick, he's gonna hate that you said that he that we're badass. He's gonna hate that.
Whatever. Fuck you, David.
But here's the thing. I'm right there 100% with you. He will take a race car and love it just as much as a fucking Fozzie Bear Studebaker with the wood paneling on the side, just because.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're checking out the Conti and Kenny show, of course.
I think he would hate that if you said badass.
Badass. You know what I mean?
Like,
you want to make fun of, you know, you want to say, oh, that music stinks, but it's not, there's no, you're not calling these guys, you're not saying, oh, this is pussy music or you're faggots or whatever. It's like, you know, this is like, get out of the way. Whether you like this or not, we're coming through. Get out of the way, stupid.
Yeah, you know, it's badass. Is when you're text messaging
a
guy from Copenhagen, Denmark in the middle of the night when he's trying to work or do his thing.
Right.
And he's like, would you just go to sleep? I've gotten that before. He's like, you have to go to bed. He's in Denmark.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Devil's Island, Copenhagen.
And I called him.
He's like, just go to bed, dude.
Well, you're checking out, of course, the Conti and Kenny show, Arrogance and Alcoholism. Kenny is out in Chicago. I am here in studio. And
I just went outside to, real quick, I'm right by an exit. So I have a quick smoking, you know, I don't have much. I have ample time in the breaks to do my thing, remake a freshie, have a smoke. And literally, it's two breaths in and you can count your nose hairs.
Oh, wow.
Just by literally, your nose hairs freeze up, and you can feel your nose hairs going in and out as you breathe. It's unbelievable out here. It's crazy.
That's insane, dude.
This is the best time. This is the best time to like punch somebody in the face.
Why? So their face will just shatter like a vase.
If you just happen like, because people have to move around just to get milk or, you know, or get gas or something like that. There are people that have to work and stuff. If you see someone out of a car or just, you know, by themselves, you can punch them right in the face and there's no repercussions. It's just too much. They would just go, oh, dude, that's not right. And you're done. Get in your car and leave. There's no fighting.
Mm-hmm.
No one's gonna, you know what I tell everybody in the Chicagoland area?
Chicagoland. Mm-hmm.
Unlock your doors. Take all your valuables out. Put them on the dining room table. Open up the curtains to the kitchen so they can see it. Unlock that back door. Do whatever you want because there ain't nobody fucking stealing shit in this area.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, everybody's home. Or, man, what about like homeless people? Like, they must be opening up shelters. Like, do you think they have like certain factions, or whether it's cops or whatever, that just go around and they just find homeless people and just pick them up and just bring them to like a place?
No, it's Han Solo on a Tauntaun. You just get caught in a snowdrift, and he's going to come and find you. Fucking great Star Wars reference. Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it really is. It's just like, it really is, you know, like, they're going to find people in snowdrifts and shit. It's just a matter of time before, like, where's Frank? Right. Haven't seen Frank in a couple of days. Boom! He's gonna be naked because he's gonna have hypothermia and think he's hot,
right?
And sweaty, and it's just a matter of time before they just start pulling these people out of the yard.
Yeah, it's probably gonna happen, man.
It really is. I swear, it's a matter of moments. Unless you're bundled up in the Arctic, you can't. You know. And you know what? To be honest, I'm just on the outskirts of downtown. I don't know where the homeless people are going, man.
They got to have these shelters, you know, that are just, you know, open and ready to just take people in.
Or it's just Groundhog Day where Bill Murray gives you a soup for a couple of nights.
Breathe, come on, man.
And then you
breathe,
find him in the alley.
Breathe, come on, old
man.
Come on. Here's another bucket of soap. Come on.
Here's another bowl. First, the bottom's a little tough.
Come on with your arthritic fingers. Grab that spoon and eat that soup, will you? You fuck. Come on, Jack Albert from fucking Chico and the Man. Eat that soup already.
And the bottom gets a little tough. Fucking arthritis fingers. That's so hilarious. You saw that.
Of course. Oh, God. Looked like his hand looked like they were starting a fire with a bunch of sticks. They were all crossing each other. It was just awful. I love that movie. That movie's great.
Me too.
But I want to read a couple of these song names. I think they're actually kind of cool. Like that song was.
Hold on a second. Real quick. Scrambler in the chat room. What club is Kenny playing? And what is Brent goes? Good one. Fuck you, you jerk. And Scrambler's like, I was serious. I wanted to know where in the city he was. I'm out here.
Oh, okay. That's right. Because you know what? Scrambler's from Chicago.
Yeah.
What club is Kenny playing at? Good one.
Good one. Yeah, Brent's like, good one. You son of a bitch.
Colorado Dickhead.
But to be honest, a good one.
Yeah. Colorado Dickhead said his buddy is an EMT, and he calls it bumsicle season. Wow, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Bumsicles. Wow. That makes sense. That's a shame, you know? Unless you're a Kardashian, nobody deserves to, like, just be stuck out in the cold and just die from that. You know what I mean? It's just, they should have a place to at least stay until it hits, like, 10 degrees. And then, outski, get out, stupid. Go find get yourself a carriage.
How many bad decisions have you made that you're out...
You know what? I know your thought process on that, but there are a lot of veterans that are homeless because they came back and they're all messed up in the head and they become alcoholics. You know how many fucking vets in this country have become alcoholics? And you know me, I'm not Mr. Rah-Rah nothing. I think it's all nonsense. But the one thing is that these vets from every war, they come back, and like Carlin used to say, it used to be called shell shock. Then it was operational fatigue, and then it was the language got softer and softer until it's post-traumatic stress disorder. And you know what, whether they come back missing limbs, like, you don't see that, but dude, all these guys come back all fucked up and they all become alcoholics, man. And then a lot of these guys end up being homeless, and the alcohol and the nightmares just ruin them, and it's a real shame. Yeah, and Colorado Dickhead in the chat said, no jackets for you. Exactly. No jacket for you. Wow, moment.
I was a Marine right after the first Gulf War, and I saw a lot of action in the chow hall, and that was because I was a mechanic, and sometimes it would get cold. But they would tell us to come inside, just hang out till it got hotter. But I made it out okay. It was some pretty rough stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? Got a little hot there. You had to put a little lotion on your skin to keep you from getting blisters.
A little hot tea.
You and Champagne Mike fucking the fighting in the big one. So, all right. So anyway.
Ingram.
All right. David Ingram. That song I played was called A Handful of Dust. Some of these names are great, like Adolescence of Time, As Leeches Gorge, Bones of Contention, Dead Man's Switch, Dead Man's Diary, Infernal Nexus, The Doomsday Man. But they're all like pretty cool tunes. Like, I'll just pick one. Infernal Nexus. And then it's whatever. I like it. And plus, he's my friend. You're not going to dance with your girlfriend to this, but you know what? You might be sitting in the gym trying to push up 275 fucking five times, and you put this in your ears, and this will fucking get you going.
Yeah, Infernal Nexus is not going to song you dance with your dad. Unless your dad's a...
And ladies and gentlemen, now for the first time, together, as they give it up for the bride and groom as they dance their first song, everybody. Now we're going to ask the bride to come up and get her dad. Come on. Get her dad out here. They're going to dance to their first song. and it's called The Doomsday Manuscript. Everybody else, all the bridal party, join in. Come on, here you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please bring the bride and groom out. They're going to dance their first dance together.
And now the groom is coming out. All right, the groom's going to come get his mom. Now we're going to do the first song with the groom and his mom, and it's called Venus Mantrap. There you go. Don't be grabbing her ass, son. That's your mother.
Hold on. Venus Mantrap should be the wedding song of the first bride.
Yeah, but I saw it with the mom, Venus, and I figured Venus Mantrap. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. You know what it is? You know how sometimes when people, they'll make the walkway? You're like the bridal party?
Yes.
They do the thing where they hold their hands.
Yeah, it's almost like London Bridge. London Bridge is falling down.
Exactly, and the bride and groom have to run through it.
Yeah.
Then they play Venus Mantrap.
Venus Mantrap.
And all it is the bride and groom high kicking, elbowing the people making the
yes,
London Bridge.
They're, it's 80s slam dancing.
The shit out of moshing them. Just knocking down the London Bridge, London Wedding Bridge.
It's great.
The groom grabs the mic, starts singing along to the song, grabs the DJ and starts choking him with the cord until he falls asleep.
Oh man, that's great, man. That's funny. So there's a bunch of these songs, right? And I liked a lot of them, but there was one that I found interesting because. And I'll play it for you real quick, all right? Pay attention to, like, the first 10 to 12 seconds of this song, okay, Kenny?
All right, now listen. Now, yeah. You found it interesting because why? Kind of get to it?
Yeah, just check this out first.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you. Just really just listen to it. Okay. It was pretty much that beginning part. It was like... Right? So I'm like, all right, cool.
How did it go again?
You know? And it's
that was different than the first time. There was a lot more...
Yeah, there was more...
In the first one.
Yeah, I was doing a little less of the buzz, the feedback. This one's called...
But the second one was accurate.
Yeah. Draconian Rage, right? And sure. Here, I'll play it again. And try to listen to, like, the even though, you know, it's very quick, but you can hear it, like, going, and it's going up. The scale is going, you know what I mean? And here, check it out. Oh, come on. Oh, here it is. What the hell? It's not work. What the fuck? Draconian Rage is not working? I was just playing it. Right, let me just, this better not fucking happen. Hold on. Here we go. Right now. Okay. When I heard this song, it sounded kind of like another song that I've heard. In my day.
Okay, and you know what would really piss David Ingram off? If it was, here comes the sun. Do, do,
do, do. Yeah, no, he's not a big fan of the here Beatles. No, this, you know what? I think I'm just going to play it. Let me just see if I can, and tell me if you think.
And you're saying that this is similar. To be honest, I got nothing.
Okay. I got them both on here. I'm going to play the one, and then I'll go right into the other, okay?
Okay.
Ready? This is Draconian Rage. Here we go. Again, I'm sorry, but I really want to get it in your head. Whoops. fuck it, it's not working, so I'm just going to play the other song. This is what it sounds like. Fucking Rock Lobster. Beef fucking 52s.
Wait a minute.
All right, now, I'm having a problem with this fucking song. It's not playing. I don't understand this. Do you want to remove the file that cannot be found in the location? Really? What the fuck? Close this.
Do you did you honestly hear like a bass line in David Ingram's
absolutely.
Ingram's song that reminded you of Rock Lobster?
Yep. Hear it again. Ready? Let me see if I can get this again. Here we go.
Okay, all right, play it one more time without the juju, without the zuzu.
Without me doing it?
Yeah, without you doing it.
Okay, it's almost like perfect timing, too, for how long the song goes. Ready? Now, you got to remember, it's faster, too. And the bass line is kind of hidden behind all the drums and all that. So here we go.
How do you get Rock Lobster out of that?
Now, let's just keep that in your head, and I'm just going to play. There we go.
We were at a party.
I heard Rock Lobster, dude.
I can't wait till he hears
Oh,
this.
I cannot wait for him to hear this. He's going to call. He'll probably not email me. He's not going to Facebook me. He's going to fucking call me from across the pond and be like, Joe Conte, I'd like to say fuck off with your bollocks.
Fuck off.
Fuck off with your bollocks.
That's all it's going to be is
fuck off. I'm telling you, man, when I heard it, I'm like, fucking Rock Lobster. It's fucking beautiful. I can't get enough.
I don't know if I'm with you on that one, brother.
Now it's over now, but it's literally like the first 8 seconds, and it just.
It'd be funny if he gave you the transcripts of the words, and he's like, "I like lobster, dipped in butter, boiled in beer, and smothered with butter."
Fuck off, bollocks! Fuck off. Bollocks.
I don't know how he's going to take this.
I hope he takes it right in the mouth. I don't care what he thinks. It's fucking awesome. I don't know. I may be complete. Oh, Colorado dickhead. Wait a minute.
Scrambler.
No,
just
he
said,
didn't.
I hate to say it, but I kind of hear it too.
Dude. Scrambler. Look at this. Colorado dickhead. Ingram said the same thing on Metal Breakfast when he debuted the song. He said Colorado Dickhead in the chat. Either you want to Skype in or do you even text it, type it in. He's saying that he heard Rock Lobster? He did. Holy shit, dude. I did not even hear his episode.
So you and Colorado haven't talked about any of this.
No. Colorado Dickhead heard it, but Colorado Dickhead says Ingram said the same thing on his show, Metal Breakfast, when he debuted the song. I haven't listened to Metal Breakfast in about a month and a half, so I haven't heard any of this. No way.
No shit, really?
Yeah, and did you say Scrambler hears it too?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I kind of hear it too. Scrambler.
This is awesome. I'm pissed though. I didn't realize that Ingram
said it on his show and you came up with that.
Dude, I swear to God, great. I did not listen to his show. What are you kidding? If I heard his show, I would just be like, yeah, this is the song. You know what I mean? I'm trying
to be
like.
You wouldn't bring it up as a bit anyway.
No, what are you kidding? Yeah. I would sound idiotic because I wanted him to be completely shocked.
Well, you already sound idiotic by comparing that song with Rock Lobster.
Yeah, but so does he and Colorado Dickhead and Scrambler. We all sound like idiots.
It's totally organic, as they say. It came out organically. I want to organically shoot myself in the face.
Oh, my God.
Organically.
But, if you want to go to Facebook.com/DownAmongTheDeadMen. And you can get all the information to get his self-titled album. I like it, man. I see why he gets to smash a lot of these bands that you would think are pretty good. And then when you listen to what he plays and what he likes and listens to, you're like, holy shit, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, maybe other people would think that a, 88, Datsun fucking 280Z is cool. But, fuck you.
He just needs a Studebaker.
Yeah,
that's all.
He's got a 67 GTO, you know what I mean? With a 400
in it.
You
know what? It reminds me now. When he told me to go to sleep, he's like, enough, go to bed. I remember it was when we first started coming out with the shorts, and we played Charlie Musselwhite, the end song for our short song.
Yes.
The ending song on our shorts.
He put that on Facebook. And he was like, hey, check out this song.
It's like, thanks, chaps.
Thanks to Conti and Kenny for turning me on to this. And if you've ever heard the shorts thing, it's the last, the music at the end when the shorts is over.
Yeah, can you pop that up while I explain?
Okay.
If you can, just to give him a little taste of it, how awesome it is. But from
what is
from
it, Charlie Whistleblower?
Charlie Musselwhite. Christo Redemptor.
Yeah,
Charlie Musselwhite, Christo Redemptor, and do the 3:11 version. Yeah. So I was texting him like, hey, I was driving back from Pittsburgh and I found this song. I'm doing the fight, blah blah blah. And he's like, hey chap, I've heard this story like 4 times. Go to sleep. And that's what I remember it was. And I was like, okay, I'll go to bed.
Which one is it? Like the 3:19?
Yeah, like 3:19. It looks like
a picture of him, like on an old cover of a
sixties. You might want to do that one or the one with him with his hair slicked back. See the one where with his hair slicked
from
back?
From the side.
Yes, just a.
Oh, looks like Leonardo DiCaprio a little bit.
Yeah. That's the one there.
Okay. So that was when he was like, "All right, go to sleep."
Yeah, he's like, "I've heard you tell this story 5 times already. I know." Beat it. Go to bed.
Yeah. Welcome to my nightmare, David. Yeah. That's pretty much what I deal with. Here we go.
It's been 12 years now.
Yeah. This, when we were putting together the ideas for the shorts and, you know, we had the format and I just wanted to find the intro music and then different things. And I wanted like a song to play at the end. And Kenny was like, yo, get this song by Charlie Musselwhite called Christo Redemptor, and you sent it to me, and I played it once, and I was like, I fucking love it.
Great ending song.
It's great. Hey, folks, that was episode number 8 of Conti and Kenny Shorts. Hope you enjoyed it. And then my nonsense babbling.
No, you're doing a great job with the shorts, man. They're really, really great.
Yeah, the next one, I like to do it and put it together and then do the recording in the studio with you.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And
yep, and Joe Z in the chat, when you were talking about everybody recognizing the fact that it's, sound like Rock Lobster. Yeah, he's like, yep, morons all around, bunch of dopes. We are. We are a bunch of idiots. But, so this was the song that you turned on Dave Ingram to. And when he was like, all right, shut it already. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
You, texting him back and forth. You annoyed somebody by repeating yourself who was 6,000 miles away.
Yep.
6,000 miles away.
Yep. Yep. A 6'8 Satanist musician, all kinds of something or other that David Ingram is.
Yeah.
And tell me to shut up and go to sleep.
Just shut your face. But Dave's album.
He's the king of darkness, and he's like, go to bed.
Go
and
to
see
bed,
the sun.
Stupid. Yeah, exactly.
Wake up and see the sun, have a coffee and a fucking Jimmy Dean pork sized sausage.
Go to facebook.com/downamongthedeadmen and or just go to metalbreakfastradio.com and you can get all the information if you want to buy his album. I'm sure it's on iTunes. I'm going to buy it because, you know, I got to do that. You got to support the pals, you know?
Tell you, good name, too, man. Really good name. Yeah,
this
just think
just
of someone who does that metal and has a band called Down Among the Dead Men going, go to sleep.
Could you go to sleep, dude? I gotta get to sleep.
Alone? I got
to
work.
I got to feed my puppy. My son needs something to eat, and I need to go to sleep.
Enough already.
Enough with you asshole. Degenerate, drunken zero.
Just like I repeated the same story 4 times in the last 3 minutes on purpose. Because enough already. I've heard it over and over. Go to sleep. I will Prince of Darkness your ass into hell if you don't leave me alone. I will find you. Cast a spell.
Great. What a great tune. If you don't know, it's Charlie Musselwhite, Christo Redemptor. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And do the 3-minute version. The longer version is a different one.
Yeah, this is like 3 minutes and 20 seconds. It's fantastic.
It's the Tarantino version, I like to call it.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. And Kenny found that and turned me on to that, and we used that for the Conti Kenny shorts.
Just like I also found, you know, Santa Claus Come to the Ghetto First from James Brown.
Yeah.
And come all the I got to find more blues songs.
We need to do that. When you get back, we have to dedicate like 1 hour of a show and just find all of those old dirty blues songs from like the 20s, talking about vaginas and penises and all that shit.
You know, being back home, we have to bring back Guess What Kenny Found.
Yes.
That was a good one.
Yeah, of course. All right. Oh, by the way, in the chat room, if you look at the picture, we have the picture of Kenny. And right underneath Kenny is the sticker. If you could see the Conti and Kenny sticker, you might not. Let me see if I can turn this down just a bit. There we go. Sort of. Oop. That's Kenny's face and the sticker. If you want to get your Conti and Kenny stickers, just go to Conti and Kenny at AOL. Email us your address and we'll send you some stickers. If you just want one, just say one. If you want a handful, we'll give you a handful. Whatever you want. If you got some friends you want to hand them to, whatever you want to do. So email us that and we'll get you some stickers. And also, we're still accepting more entries for the contest, the worst comic contest. If you need more info on it, just go to ContiandKenny.com. Right on the front page, scroll down like two, because on the front page we have like, you know, bulletins on what's going on, whether it's a new show tonight or whatever. Scroll down like two stories and you'll see all the information for that. And it's for the... basically, you're doing an impression of the bad Steve Sindoni stand-up with, you know, whether it's just laugh track or sound effects or... Kenny, I actually think I might do one because I thought of a joke today that was so bad and I said this could be perfect. So actually thinking about it, you know.
Maybe maybe we should both do one.
Yeah. Or what I could do is just get, like, track 6 off of my Happiness CD and just play that, and I'll probably end up winning the whole thing.
You know what we should do? This just popped into my head. We should, speaking of the stickers, real quick, and I'll come back to it. I held court during the layover, speaking of stickers, because I had a pack of stickers in my bag. Ooh, I always travel with them to hand them out.
Yes.
And it just so happens a guy from Wisconsin, a guy from Detroit, a woman from Long Island,
a couple other people all from all over the country decided to bring up comedians and conversation and whatnot, and I just happened to spew out.
And you told them that you knew some comics, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I started to go through my Rolodex on my phone. And I might have shown them, you know, Jim Florentine's number.
You did tell them you do stand-up too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, well, okay. I had to. I couldn't just be like, hey, yeah. I gave them, you know, Al Sharpton's number. I showed them all the numbers, and I kind of held court for a while, and then I just started handing out stickers.
Did you really?
Kenny Show. Because they were Stern fans. Mm-hmm. Half of them were O&A fans. They knew of O&A, but they were mostly Stern people.
Right.
So I showed them Bob Levy's number. I showed them Jim Brewer. Mike Buschetti.
Yeah.
I showed them Buschetti because they know Buschetti from Artie Lang's thing.
Yeah,
so
of course.
We started talking about Artie Lang. So now to wrap that back up, what I think we should do is maybe call a couple of our pals and have our pals do a tribute to Steve Sindone.
Ooh. Well,
right?
I finally spoke to Buschetti last week, and Buschetti wants to come and do the show.
He was supposed to do it in December. I talked to him in December. He wanted to come up.
Yeah, but he's going to I figure when you get back, we'll
Well, the thing is I got to go pick his ass up from Staten Island.
Yeah, no, but he might not need to because he might be able to come with somebody else, but I had his old number. So when he called me, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, the last time I had Buschetti in my car, I got into a fucking accident.
Did you really?
Yeah, me and him got sideswiped by some Jesus. Fucking giant pickup truck leaving, I think it was like Domenico's. We did a show with me Otto, Piccoli, and Buschetti.
No shit.
And yeah, it was pouring rain. It was just a huge disaster. But yeah, that was the last time me and Buschetti were in a car.
Buschetti's a riot.
Well, I'll go pick him up. I live 2 minutes from him.
Buschetti is doing
great
so
on the
well.
Show.
He's doing so well between the
I'm
Artie
so happy
Lang
for
show.
That dude too, man.
Between the Artie Lang show and now O&A have like adopted him as like this this other this entity where now he's like in there like once a month and he's so out of his mind in there and like they don't even know like he's funny because he's a nut in there. Like, they don't even know how funny his stand-up is.
They haven't known him for 15 years.
Right, but they don't even know his stand-up. Like, his stand-up is very funny. I mean, Buschetti's a weird dude, and his stand-up does reflect that, but he's very funny. Like, his stand-up is very entertaining, and he's very funny, on top of just being a futsy, klutzy fucking clod and hilarious, you know? So I'm so looking forward to him coming in.
Way back when we started, we did that that show down in Atlantic City where Johnny O burnt his pants on fire and, on that bus.
Yes.
A long
Buschetti
story short, I haven't. What's that?
Buschetti was there?
Yeah, Buschetti was there. Me and him hung out the whole time.
I don't remember him being there.
Long story short, it's me, Joe Conti, Johnny O, Chips Cooney, Otto and George, a bunch of other comedians, Buschetti, and we're driving down. We do a show
in Berkeley
Italian,
Heights. Yeah.
In Berkeley Heights, in an Italian country club. We do a show there, and then all of a sudden, we're going to get into a bus. We're going to do a second show down in Atlantic City. Long story short, me and Buschetti are hanging out the whole time on the way down. We're drinking beers and whatnot, and the whole thing. We get down to the show, and it's a three-story go-go bar that doesn't have any microphones or nothing. They didn't know the show was coming there. It was a big misunderstanding, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we go to the Hilton to do a little gambling, and Buschetti's next to me, and I dump like $300 in about 8 seconds on a fucking blackjack table. He's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. You lose that much? Oh, my God. And you gave him like a $5 voucher. So I showed him how to put it into the slot machine. And he's like, I've never gambled. Oh, my God. I've never gambled before. Oh, my, it's great. Oh, my God. I've never gambled. And he, you know, was doing the whole thing. And, you know, that night, at the end of the night, we get back at about 7 o'clock in the morning. Glenn Miller was there, too. And Johnny O, a pal. Yeah, he was there. And the bus was filled. Johnny O had brand new khakis on, bought a brand new pair of fancy pants,
and had fallen asleep.
Fancy pants!
Fallen asleep with a cigarette in his lap and burnt the entire front of his pants off. So it looked like one of those Who Farted shirts.
Yeah.
And he just totally burnt his pants. You could see his boxes. It was a brilliant night. It was a disastrous night.
What a mess.
But it was brilliant.
Yeah,
but,
and the only audience we had were these two chicks that I knew from, like, the Atlantic City area. And I was just friends with them. Like, I used to just bullshit with them online, and they were always really cool. And they were like, oh, whenever you're in the area. And I'm like, oh, we're doing this big show in Atlantic City. It's going to be this club, you know? And, you know, I'm doing it 3 years. This is 2002, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, wait. 2002? Yes. Yes. This was either August or September of 2002. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be great. I'm doing this 3 years. I'm going to do a show in Atlantic City. I have arrived. And we get there, and it's this three-story strip club / regular club, and the music is blasting. And the only person that could do stand-up was Chips Cooney.
And he did it. I was hosting, and I had a 2-foot microphone from the DJ booth. So I had to, like, lean over the records as I was introducing everybody, and then Chips Cooney just brilliantly did his entire act without a microphone.
Yeah, he basically was the Harpo. And
and then after that, we were like, we can't do this.
This is just terrible. You know, I'll be honest, man, from nights like that and other shitty nights of these bad gigs, it's almost like they're great stories and memories, but how did we continue do that? Like any other business, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, listen, you drive a truck. It's like, all right, this is what you're going to do. This evening you're going to go to place A, you're going to pick up, then you're going to go to B, and then you're going to come back home. And you figure, all right, I'm going to go there, pick up the shit, drop it off there, and then come back here. But you don't realize that A is Camden, and you get yanked out of your truck like Reginald Denny, and you get fucking fire hydrant thrown at your fucking head. Then you finally get the chicken coop feed, and you bring it over to B, but they're not there, and you have to wait, and it's cold, and then finally some middle management guy comes from the middle of the night, opens it up. Now you have to lug everything out of the truck by yourself onto the dock, and then you get home. By the time you get home, it's fucking 10:30 in the morning, and you're like, I'm done. I'm not doing this every fucking time.
But then you're Samuel L. Jackson in Goodfellas. Stacks. You're Stacks. And
exactly. You're like, oh, yeah, come back and get some coffee.
Great analogy, though. Great analogy.
Yeah, get some coffee, and you're fucking dead. You know what I mean?
And tomorrow I'm going to do it all over
and
again.
Yeah, it's like, and you're thinking, this can't be, this is comedy? This is what we've been dreaming about? It was just, I don't know how, and that's why they always say, if you're doing it more than 5 years, then you should be okay. You should be able to make a living doing comedy, because the first 5 years, or at least it used to be, the worst and the toughest, because, you know, it's all a learning curve, and it's all doing shitty mics and shitty bringers and, you know, just trying to get 5 minutes of stage time and all that. It's just a nightmare. And all these nightmare shows that we could just tell you about. But at the time, you're thinking, this is terrible. But now when you look back, it's all part of what makes you what you are as
a
comic.
Right, and
a person.
You know what? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said, and a person, you know, like make you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot, like, you know, a lot of the, you know, we were on the last, I think we were, when we first started, we were on the last edge of, and now, to be honest, I don't know what the kids are doing as they're coming up, but, you know, when you're with Otto and George and you're doing a show in Poughkeepsie and you go to the place where somebody had just gotten murdered and you're trying to buy cocaine. And then someone gives you two little small bags, $50, $100 worth of cocaine, which is not worth. And then you get out of the car and confront the big 6-7 drug dealer that this is bullshit. And I'm from the streets and I know what this is. And he tells you, get the fuck out of here or something bad's going to happen. Then you go right by the cab. And then some other guy gives you sells you a $60 ice cube because he says, no, it's a rock cocaine. It's good. It's good. Those nights, I don't know if they happen that much anymore. You know what I mean? Where you spend $170 on a fucking ice cube.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many great, and the guys that came up before us, guys that came up in the late 70s and
80s. They were all road dogs. Those guys are all road dogs.
And those are like the stories of just driving around and sitting and driving in your car for weeks at a time and, you know, and just being a true road dog and just spending, you know, maybe even a couple of months just on the road, you know, sleeping in your car. You know, like that kind of died out a little bit by the time, you know, in the 2000s when we started doing it. You didn't get that much, you know, because there was more places to do locally. So you wouldn't have to go to try to get three or four nights a week. You can, you know, you could still keep your day job and, you know, get to work on the weekends and make some money and still do some mics in the area and just, you know, season yourself. Now I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know.
I would challenge any of these young kids coming up, to challenge a story like me, Rich Carucci, and Chuck Manganelli in a Ford Mustang driving to right next to Cleveland in one of the worst blizzards of all time, and we can't make it. We get stuck in Bath, New York, and then we go to we walk a half a mile in a blizzard to the nightclub from the hotel that we found. And get into a fist fight. Chuck Manganelli's dancing like Michael Jackson, makes out with one of the hottest girls that were in there, which was like a three.
Right, of course.
Me and Rich Carucci follow this woman who looks like John Goodman in flip-flops in the snow. She's got flip-flops in the snow. And we're following her like a block away to her house. And we have to step over baby clothes to get into the house, okay? And there's pizza boxes and, like, Reese's wrappers on her L-shaped fucking sofa, and she just shushes all of the boxes off her couch like she's, like, some kind of a bartender, you know what I mean? Just, like, get these off the couch. Have a seat. We proceed to start making Smirnoff vodka and OJ that she pulled out of the counter. Then she proceeds. She says, okay, well, you guys hang out. I'm going to call my friends over. We'll hang out. Carucci's hammered. She decides she's going to feed her cats. She's got six all-gray cats, and all of them have six toes. And she proceeded to show the six toes. So she then proceeds to open up the cat food and not put it in a dish.
Nope.
You know there's an island in mm-hmm, most kitchens? There's an mm-hmm, island? Mm-hmm. She just opens up the can of Fancy Feast and dumps it over on the counter. And then seven six-footed cats, gray cats, jump onto the counter and start munching down. And then Carucci fell into the snow, and we went back, and then he thought he was going to die, and it was hilarity. But I challenge stories like that. You know
what
I mean?
There's just so many of them, you know? Like the one I went out, me and Chris McDevitt, went out to Topton, Pennsylvania, and went to the... I've told the story before. I'll make it real quick. We went in there for that guy, Jake Creed, whatever his name was, that hippie dude from the 70s who played the guitar and wore a headband, and he kind of looked like Frank Zappa. And,
Credo Clearwater... Forget it.
I wish I could forget what you just tried to do, but it's embedded in my head. And we go in there, and it was one of those, like, a VFW hall, but it had a bar, and there was a wall that separated the two, and we walked to the left, and there was a stage there and chairs, and we were like, great, and nobody showed up. So we were like, all right, no problem. You know, I was doing it 4 or 5 years, and Chris was, like, brand new, and we're like, all right, you know what, no problem. And the guy's like, no, we're going to do it in the bar area. And I was like, oh, man. So he decides, as the genius that he was, we'll set up in the bar. And if you've ever been to a VFW, this isn't like a regular bar. These are the regulars that go in there. They're there every day. Everybody knows everybody. And you know, you figured, oh, God, they're going to set up the thing in the corner with the little speaker. They're going to have their backs to us. They're not going to listen to us. They're just enjoying their you know, shot in the fucking beer. And no, this genius decided, no, we'll set up the microphone and the speaker behind the bar where the bartender walks around, and we'll tell jokes from behind the bar standing on the rubber mat so they actually look at us. And it was horrible. We ended up getting heckled and fucked with all night by these two guys that were like the dudes from the Muppet Show in the fucking in
yeah.
the balcony.
Yeah, tall dudes.
Yeah, and it was this guy named Squirrel. This guy named Squirrel fucking heckled us and fucked with us the whole time. But he didn't say, my nickname is Squirrel, and it because it's this, or my real name is this. It was just, hey, what's your name? Squirrel. Period. That's it. No explanation, no nothing. That was the guy's name. And it was just a nightmare. But we had fun. You know, you make whatever, you know, you just whatever, you know, it was a nightmare, but we had a blast. No, Joe Z asked if this is the show where Chris got jumped after. No, there was nobody there jumping anybody. This is Topton, Pennsylvania. There was nothing there. But those are the stories.
Yeah, real quick, just another one real quick that
Then we got to take a break and we got to cut off from More Like Radio.
From More Like, one of the funniest times I ever laughed. It was me, Carucci, a girl comedian, I forget, and Jay Black. And remember the infamous Buffalo night that I had?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was the next day we had to go down to, it was Red Hook, upstate New York. It was called Red Hook. Anyway, we're in a VFW. And they're like, oh, go to the green room. And it's upstairs. And it's, you know, probably the place was built in like the early 1900, you know, 1920 or something like that. So they're like, go up there. So they had a little, small little bar, no beer or anything like that. But they had a TV and had CNN on. And all of a sudden, this old George Burns guy walks into the room, right? Walks in, hammered drunk. And he walks up the stairs, walks into the room that we're all hanging out in. Now, we're dead silent. Like, what is this? He goes and he lays next to the old heaters, you know, those old water heaters that are on the side of the wall, you know, the exposed things, you know,
yeah.
Just lays down right there real quick. And on CNN, like Sanjay Gupta was like, yeah, it's about your carotid artery. And the old guy hadn't said anything in like 4 minutes. He just walked in, laid down, and we were like, that's kind of weird, but we didn't pay any attention to him. All of a sudden, he hears on the screen carotid artery. He wakes up and goes, I got your carotid artery right here. And he's a 95-year-old George Burns dude, and I went fucking ape shit. He woke up out of his coma and going, I got your carotid artery right here.
That's great.
And he was sleeping on the floor.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We could go on for stories for days.
Oh, yeah. It's just an absolute nightmare slash great learning experience.
Great, yeah. Nightmares are the same as dreams in comedy.
I think so.
Good dream. You know what I mean? Nightmare, yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm not sure.
Robin Williams.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm like, fucking idiot. Yeah. Whatever. What am I, Timothy Leary? Get off the acid.
As Carlin said, Timothy Leary's brother, really Leary.
Nightmare as good as dreams. Yeah, all right. Shut up, Dickens.
Let's do this. Let's do the switchover. So if you're listening now on More Like Radio or the TuneIn app, if you stay there, you're going to check out Lust and Love on More Like Radio. If you want to continue and listen to the rest of the show, the last hour, come to ContiandKenny.com.
And Lust and Love go on More Like Radio.
Yeah.
Until what should we go? Till 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock. I'm sorry. They go to 11. 9 to 11.
I had it correct the first time.
I didn't hear
you,
and I'm in fucking Central Daylight
you
Time.
You just
it's
confused
41
everybody.
Below.
Let me do the fucking talk. All right, we gotta go. All right, we'll be right back. We're gonna take a break. Conti and Kenny Show.
wants to get closer to Conti and Kenny? Everyone with gonorrhea does. So why not like the Conti and Kenny Show Facebook page? And now follow the show and them on Twitter. At C and K Show, at Joe Conti Comic, and at Kenny Michael 5. What a weird, stupid Twitter that is. Kenny Michaels 5. Yeah. Kenny Michaels 5. The number 5. What a fool.
Fuck. I'm fucking pissy. Assholes. Man, am I fucking pissed. While our government and big business are ripping our ass cheeks apart and just jamming their fists down our anal cave, we are just sitting there going, I can't believe this. Oh, Angry Birds has a new version. I can shoot piggies now. We're fucking retarded, man. I'm in a fucking grouchy mood now. Annoying. They're talking about this bad economy and a recession and we're in a depression. You know one of the big reasons why nobody fucking picks up on this? For the last 7 years, we've been getting raped by the fucking oil companies. It's so fucking despicable that if you look at the price of oil right now per barrel, it's not that much higher than it was in the mid-90s when gas was $1.50 a gallon. It's disgusting. It's so despicable. And now they don't even give a shit. Piece of shit. Filth bag. Fucking dopey Reagan fucking lifting up all the fucking deregulating Reagan. There you go, stupid. Deregulate everything so Wall Street can pound it in our ass and our fucking mortgage companies can fucking fuck everybody right in the face in the early 2000s. That's why we had a fucking housing crisis. Because everybody gets a house. When everybody gets a house, guess what? Houses ain't worth shit. It's obscene and our government is just laughing at us. They don't even try to hide it anymore. You know what I mean? Take it right in the face. You're getting fucked. Go fucking play your Angry Birds. I'm an Angry Bird.
I think he's a comic.
I'm not being a comic because I'm just some dickhead sitting in the back drinking coffee.
You're great.
Conti and Kenny Show. Fuck you.
One, two, three.
Alcoholic kind of mood. Lose my clothes, lose my lube. Cruising for a piece of fun. Looking out for number one.
You know what I'm having for the first time today?
Period.
I love you.
I love you.
What?
I just have a cavity of dryness.
But it's one that you could actually put in your mouth.
I probably could do a bunch of guys in a hospital.
Oh, my God. He's pulling it off.
I would masturbate for 2 weeks straight before I died.
And I'm fucking deep-throating
hard.
Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle.
I would rather be dead than not have cock.
Mine may be hard.
I have to rinse my balls off first.
My tranny is going.
Now I have no cock.
I know you're an old fuck.
And you have rubber dickies.
You're not going to suck it. Get out.
I'm okay. I'm a swinger.
That's a cock joke.
You want to call my sister?
The Conti and Kenny Show.com.
Recently on the Conti and Kenny Show.
Fucking thing froze up.
Ah.
You kidding?
And I'm watching. They also put on the thing that Honey Boo Boo's.
Like the whole computer just froze up.
Oh, really?
Too much shit on here. That's basically what she said. She's like, "Hey, Marquise, what's going on? I'll come back for round two." And the guy was like, he basically was like, "You need to be quiet," and then asked her for her ID. And her ID was in her car. So he told her she was banned from the mall for not having an ID. It's like, really, dude? Like, what are you talking about? Oh, the Adobe plugin has crashed. Holy crap. Everything just went right in the toilet. Holy shit. I gotta...
That's the Flight 800 of Adobe players.
I gotta do the... the Flight 800 of the Adobe players.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Talking bollocks for fuck knows how many years.
My nickname was I Don't Know Joe because whenever I was trying to talk to somebody about my problems, like, listen, man, I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Is that really?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I feel, and I don't know. All I know is I don't want to be here. I don't want to be there. I don't know where I want to be. Just, I figured I should tell you. And they're like, they would be like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know.
Listen to the I Don't Know Joe Show every Wednesday at joefernandez.net.
Wait, hold on. We got something from Johnny O coming in on shortwave.
Bunch of slack-jawed faggots around here. Yep, 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 yep.
There'll be some swelling.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
This is Uncle Arthur, everybody's favorite uncle. You're listening to the Conti and Kenny Show. Oh, those two guys really crack me up. Just keep listening. One of the knuckleheads will call you or take your phone call or whatever they do there.
Missed a previous show? Want to catch up with the show? Have nothing else better going on with your life? Download podcasts of the Conti and Kenny Show. They are on iTunes. And for you Apple haters, they are now on Stitcher. You can also go to morelikeradio.com or theContiandKennyShow.com.
All right, we're back. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Oh, okay, good timing.
Here we are, Rock Lobster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you're just listening, we're just on Conti and Kenny now to the end of the show, 10 o'clock. If you came over, we appreciate it. If you're listening in, podcast, it didn't even matter. You didn't have to do any switch or nothing. All you did was just... continue on your treadmill or in your cubicle or whatever you do and continue. But if you do listen live, the last hour of the show is on just Conti and Kenny by itself.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of these songs, I don't know if you're with me on this one.
I'm always with you, brother.
Oh, well, thank you, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rock Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those songs. It's like, fish heads, roly poly fish heads. You know what I mean? Or
the three.
Little pig,
let me in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
No.
Remember them from the 90s? Remember that song? Is that what you're talking about?
But sometimes, you know, and listen, I don't want to, talk bad about anybody who has different tastes in music and stuff.
Why not? That's what life is. My
shit
sucks
just,
and you're a douche.
Some of the stuff I just don't get where they think these people are like avant-garde. You know?
Now, what do you mean? I mean, give me an example.
David Byrne.
Oh, I thought you were going to say David Ingram.
No.
Well, David Byrne?
Yeah, like David.
From
like,
Talking Heads?
Talking Heads. Like,
Talking Heads, though, dude.
I saw a thing with an interview, and they were just like sucking on him. You know what I mean? Like he was this cutting edge and kind of thing, and something like that. And it's my fault. I just don't get it. You know what I mean? I just don't get what you know. Johnny Cash. I get. Beethoven.
Okay, I mean you're not really causing any big debates here by going Beethoven and Johnny Cash.
How about this?
You know, it's like, hey, you know what? I really thought that Gandhi was a really nice guy, and Martin Luther King did some good things. So you're really provoking an argument here.
Yeah, I know it's me waffling again, but I just sometimes don't get. Where I'm like, you know, all right, it was a song. You had one or two songs that made it, but...
I don't know, man. Talking Heads, you'll get an argument from me, man, because we could just go through, like, how much shit they put out. I mean, just the band itself.
Here's my problem is I don't know the shit that they put out, you know?
Oh,
I don't
yes,
know.
You do. Yes, you do. By the way, Josie in the chat, quite frankly, I don't like the whole More Like Radio crowd. I am a ContiandKenny.com man.
There you go.
Dude,
we gotta get him up in studio.
I don't wanna I don't wanna take too long with this, but all right.
No.
Here we go.
No,
it was... I'll go with first song. Ready? Let's just hope that it's a
Is it Burning Down the House?
No. Here we go. Let's see. Fucking Once in a Lifetime?
You may ask yourself,
yeah. All right,
why am I listening to this record? You may ask yourself.
Somebody put like a dance thing.
Why did I buy the CD? You may ask yourself. I had the tape already. You may ask yourself. I went through it once, and that was enough. And the days go by in my Plymouth Skylark. And the days go by, and I don't have to listen to this anymore. Because this whole album doesn't hold up like the Beatles.
All right. How about this? All right, that was pretty good. But let's try this.
Not bad tunes, but I wouldn't worship this guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't know about worshiping any of them, but I just like... The older I got, the more I really enjoyed the Talking Heads. All right, here we go.
No.
Right. Oh, this is... Psycho Killer.
Can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and
nervous. Psycho Killer, come on, dude. This is like a really old version. This almost sounds like that almost sounds like a demo. Hold on.
Before you pop that up,
okay.
It's not so much, I would say, not so much like the Talking Heads, but I would say someone from that kind of genre, that late 70s, mid-70s, when everything started to turn new wave, or like the New York Dolls, you know, the cab driver from fucking Scrooged, and the guy that sang, Can You Feel It? Hot. Is this world-renowned punk rock dude.
Really?
Johansson.
Oh, David Johansson?
Yeah.
Wasn't he from
York
The Animals?
They're supposedly some kind
of
like...
He was in The Animals, I think, right? Or...
Well, it's New York Dolls now.
Oh, okay.
They got back together. It's like, you know, this whole hip weird...
Yeah, that was that Lou Reed thing, right? With the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing the Ramones and stuff, it's some stuff. I mean, it's generational, but some stuff I just don't get. Where I'm like, it's not really that good.
Josie in the chat says, "I know what Kenny's talking about. I swear to God, once a year, some bag of douche tries to explain to me why Radiohead is so brilliant. There are just certain bands that are going to get certain type of accolades, you know, and unfortunately, because these accolades are so... Yeah, David Johansen was in New York Dolls. My bad. Yeah. Like Radiohead. I always hear that about Radiohead. Like, they're the modern day band that bands love. And so so you're gonna get. Listen, if you're right, like, hey, right. I really like these guys. These guys are cool. You may get an argument, but it's not really a debate. But when people get thrown on this huge pedestal, like, look at Nirvana, right? Whether you like Nirvana or not, you can at least go, hey, Nirvana, at least in the forefront, kind of changed things. I mean, there were other bands and all that. So it's a little easier to kind of let them have their spot in music history. But there are certain bands when they get such high praise... And it's kind of debatable because you're like, whoa, you know, that's a little too much. You're getting a little too much gravy for the plate of food you got. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe I just don't really appreciate anybody else's taste. You know, maybe I just have my own thing.
It's almost like if somebody comes up to you and tells you that they're dating a chick who's the hottest chick on the planet, and then when you meet her, you're like. I'm sorry. I mean, she's good looking. And if you would have said she's good looking, I would have been like, fucking hey, man, she's good looking. But you told me she was the hottest chick you've ever seen. And now I'm disappointed because I'm like, dude, you can't, it shouldn't get thrown around. And like the bands being called brilliant and groundbreaking, everything gets thrown, the word brilliant gets thrown around so much now these days.
Sorry.
That, you know. Oh, no, I don't mean by you. I don't mean... you say something's brilliant because it's cool, you know? So what happens is it enrages people because you're saying every chick is a 10. You're saying every band is brilliant. Or so when those groups that do get that, you're like, hang on, time out. I don't know. I'm sick of hearing everybody's brilliant. And so a lot of those bands... It would be easier if like... There were 10 bands since fucking, you know, 1955, or let's say Beatles, from Beatles to now, 10 bands that were that unequivocally best bands ever, and everybody else just falls in between a 3 and a 7, you know? There would be right. less of what you're saying, and like what Joe Z was saying about, you know, why Radiohead is considered so brilliant, Colorado Dickhead said he used to live with the New York Dolls drummer's daughter. She is a crazy bitch. That's a, you know, well, saying she's a crazy bitch doesn't say anything. white ass Brent, did you finger pop her? yeah, see, like Josie says, that's another one. Nirvana, they were part of a scene that didn't change the world, like Courtney Love will tell you. But they were the ones that get most of the credit because they were the ones that... kind of made it through the forefront first and the biggest. You know what I mean?
Right.
So most people will let that go because they're like, hey, you know what? You know, although there will people say, you know what? Pearl Jam should get more of the, you know, of the credit. But I know what you're saying, Kenny. Like some bands get pushed up to such on this pedestal, not just being a great band, but being the musician's musician, the band that changed things, or they're so brilliant, and you know if you don't get it, you don't understand music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that bothers people.
Yeah, and like you'll see it a lot on like Carson Daly after like Fallon. He'll have a bunch of bands that are like breaking bands. You know what I mean? They're new, and you're like. It's not really that good. The only, pretty much the only one really, maybe not the only one, but the only one that I've seen, in my personal opinion, has been Nick Drake. Nick Drake was a guy, he was around late 60s, early 70s, and he was
one of the Hanson brothers.
What's that?
I thought he was one of the Hanson brothers. I'm sorry.
No. But he, you can hear his influence in a lot of like Coldplay songs and whatnot. And Nick Drake is great. He killed himself like Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger was a big Nick Drake fan, so they both died, you know, taking pills and died at their parents' house or whatever it was, or in a hotel. But anyway, he was like the only ones that I'm like, oh, I can hear the influence. And you can hear it's what I'm saying is I don't really know what much I'm saying about. of anyone else's opinion. It's just mine.
Yeah.
That I don't really get a lot of weird shit.
It's it like you know? I said, when the weird shit or whatever gets blown into, like, gets blown up into, like, this stratosphere, that's when people, like, are like, what are you talking about, you know? Like, if, you know, Talking Heads or that avant-garde, we're like, yeah, you know, they're just a really good band, and they're pretty influential, and people really love them. They're a little weird, you know, but they're pretty cool. You'd be like, you wouldn't have a problem with it, you know? But because it gets thrown into this, you know, like Radiohead. Like, right now, in the last 15 years, Radiohead is the band that everybody says, like, they're the brilliant band of the modern age. And, you know, I don't know much Radiohead. So, you know, it's... And listen, this is just like comedy. It's like, when it comes to music and comedy, it is so... It's so much every person's perspective. Like, you know...
It is.
It's
it is.
Weird, yeah. You know, like, yeah. Think about it. It's what makes you... Like, comedy... Like, think about it, how specific it has to be per person. That's something that makes you laugh, or music and something that makes you feel good. And, you know, it changed constantly through generations. So it's such a weird thing. Like, drama,
you're absolutely 100%. That's exactly what I was trying to say for 15 minutes.
I just summed it up.
And you just summed it up real quick.
But I think that's why a lot of times, like, dramatics, like drama, you know, you can get more people liking the same type of drama, because drama is something, you know, you don't have to go and, like with music or comedy, you almost have to be connected with it and, you know, and then kind of go with it. Like, you know, with comedy, be like, yeah, you know what? I understand what he's saying. Like, you know, I associate with what he's saying, or I understand what he's saying, or that's my type of humor. Or with music, it's like, I just feel it with music. With drama, it's almost like you can appreciate drama from afar. You know, like, drama is more or less, hey, you know what? I'm watching a drama about a kid being abducted or whatever. And you're just like, it doesn't have to, you don't have to have a kid of your own to get into the drama. You don't have to have experience what's going on in the drama to appreciate it. So it's almost like I bet you there's more people when it comes to stuff that's like serious like that, that people would be easier, more inclined to agree with than comedy or music. So let's face it, you know, comedy, music, politics, and religion, you'll argue to the death. But you don't hear people saying, you know what, this drama is much more dramatic than this drama.
Yeah,
it's more like, you know what? Like, if it's real, not like soap opera shit, but like, hey, you know what? Yeah. This is a drama about, you know, a serial killer. Or this is a drama about a divorce. Whatever it is, you're still going to get emotionally invested in it, even if you're not, even if you don't experience it. I think that happened. That could be more.
You're basically telling me to keep my shit to myself. And what I like is what I like, and what you like is what you like.
Yeah, and maybe you should just let me kind of do that type of, you know, discussion, and you just sit back and just enjoy the fucking ride. How about that?
Exactly. You're exactly right. No, you said it perfectly.
Josie in the chat. I think he's talking about, we're going back to music. He's talking about, I think they get credit because Cobain died young. I feel the same way about the Beatles. If Mick Jagger or Keith Richards were murdered in 1980, we would think of the Stones the way we think the Beatles now. But that's where I get my my little math problem, where I say Nirvana and Pearl Jam are like the Beatles and the Stones.
Of that era.
Just in a sense where Nirvana and the Beatles get more of the credit because they were, shorter amount of time there, whether because they broke up or, you know, Kurt Cobain died. And Pearl Jam and the Stones went on for, Pearl Jam's been going on for 20 years now. Stones have been going on for almost 50. And they don't get that, you know, that mystique like the Beatles and Nirvana does. They get respect. Don't get me wrong. But most people will look at the Beatles like they were, you know, they're the pinnacle. They are at the top. And the Stones are right there. And I know this could be argued, but I'm saying most people would say that because maybe like what he said, hey, you know what? They weren't around as long. And let's face it, you know, the absence makes the heart grow fonder. So you're going to be more like, wow, they're not around anymore. Look what they did in that such a short period of time. He was red hot, you know, feel his heat, you know. But then a guy who sustains a long ass, like, you know what, Hank Aaron, you know, Hank Aaron was around forever. If it wasn't for his home run record, you know, he may not be recognized, but dude, he was an amazing player. He never hit more than like 40 home runs in a season, but he played for like 25 years. And he got this, you know, great big ass long career. But a guy like Ruth, it's almost more glamorized because he did it in a shorter period of time, and
a different era,
and you know the whole thing about the way he was and his personality and pointing and fucking, you know, the whole thing about rumors of him pointing and calling the shot. So he's going to get more of that mystique. And you know what it is? Most people never saw him play. So it's almost like this magical time because, you know, there are people that are alive that watch Henry Aaron play. And even, you know, as, you know, closer and closer now,
and
more and more.
Babe Ruth is a ghost. Kurt Cobain is a ghost.
He's a ghost, yeah.
Half the Beatles are ghosts.
Yeah,
you know, so there's something to be said for that, you know, where it's the mystique of it, like you said. Yeah. You're right.
52 years, Josie. 52 years for the Stones. So it's, you know, there is a
is that the years or the amount of kidney stones that Keith Richards had to pass?
Yeah, so it's totally objective. I think it's the most objective thing when it comes to comedy and music. You know. It's so objective or subjective.
You're right. You're
I think it's,
right.
It's subjective. I think I'm using the wrong word there. So, yeah, you know, it's understandable why even somebody like you is like, you know, Mr. Fucking, you know, even you and, you know, you don't get that negative about something like that. Even you, you're like, oh, God, because it's like it's so subjective. And then for somebody to get put up that high, way beyond everybody else, it's like, wait a second. Why, you know?
Yeah, but,
and then the debate.
But you basically put it out in the beginning of the whole conversation was that I don't really realize about other people's perception. Like, I'm pretty good with music. I find a lot of old and intricate, arrangements and all that kind of stuff. I love it, absolutely love it, all wide range. And then I go, yeah, the Cars. Not that big of a deal. And so, you know, and it's totally my fault.
Yeah.
So I just waffled on the whole thing, but you put it out there perfectly.
All right. I wonder if we're boring the shit out of people.
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
So what do you got next? We got
a bunch
of
stuff.
I
don't know. We got through like nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I know.
Do you want to? All right. You know what? Why don't we do this? Since we're talking about music. Fuck it. Let's just go right into this. Two songs that I wanted to critique, and we might only get to one of them. I'm going to go with this one. I just think it might be a
Here
better...
Comes the Sun.
All right. Here's a song. I hear it every once in a while on satellite radio, and I don't know what to think of it. I don't mind the sound of it. Like, music, it's okay. But there's just something about the lyrics that drives me fucking bananas. All right? It's by the Righteous Brothers. Well, I don't know much about the Righteous Brothers. And it's called Rock and Roll Heaven. Just, we'll check it out. When it kicks in, it's not terrible. It's got some horns in it, guitars, it's okay. But when they get into the words, here we go.
If you believe in forever, then life is just a one-night stand.
Okay, I'll give you that.
If there's a rock
Oh boy, let's describe the band. Here we go.
Jimmy gave us rainbows.
Jimi Hendrix.
Janis took the piece of our heart. And Otis brought us all to the dock of the bay.
Otis brought us to the dock of the bay.
All right.
Yeah.
Sing a song to light my fire.
It's about Jim Morrison. Found another place to play, Kenny.
If you believe in forever, now life is just a one-night stand. If there's a rock and roll hell, well, you know they got a hell of a band.
At least we know who the fucking roadies are.
Remember Bad Bad Leroy Brown.
Bad Bad Leroy Brown? They're just naming dead fucking rock stars. Bobby Darin. Whoa, he's back in town. I like the sound of the chorus.
If you believe that we'll all meet in a certain place, and Kurt Cobain put a shotgun to his face.
If we knew Elvis had a sandwich and he wanted to boil it, then they found him dead sitting on the toilet.
If you know Bobby Darin can play the ones, and you
forget, I got more. Don't worry.
Josie said this song sounds a lot like that Dave Ingram song. Oh, it's Cherry. Let's see. Colorado Dickhead never liked the song. White Ass Brent says it sucks. Colorado Dickhead says it's cheesy on the level of Cherokee Nation. And White Ass Brent, life is just a one night stand. YOLO, you only live once. Yeah, it's listen, the basis of the song about rock and roll heaven and have a hell of a band, hate every bit of that. It's like, oh, what are you guys doing? And obviously we have the guys who are going to be carrying the speakers for all the great musicians, the Righteous Brothers. Hopefully they're in good shape when they get up into heaven.
Ray Charles was hooked on heroin, but he did not die. But if you were in Stevie Ray Vaughan's band, don't take that helicopter because you would die.
Yeah, you could have said don't fly.
It would have
been fucking bitter. You stink. No, it just... Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like... I would hear it, you know, and I was torn because I was like, the words stink, and you know, it's very campy, but I just like the full sound of the chorus.
Hold on. Oh, I'm working on a good one.
You're working on one.
Working on a good one.
If you were in a plane and died like Buddy Holly,
son of a bitch, I'm off on the beat.
That's all right. We get like, if you were a big man in the 50s and you like to eat a Whopper, don't get on that plane with the big bopper. I'm trying to think of more dead people.
I know, me too.
They found another place to play. So if you believe in heaven, if you believe in heaven, and then life is just a one-night stand. Yeah, it just stinks. Yep.
Remember that guy Liberace? He would have been more better off. Fucking, I can't even think of it.
Banging Versace?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. It just it's so corny, you know, and obviously, I mean, look, I don't know anything about the Righteous Brothers, but maybe they were trying to capitalize on a little bit of a, hey, if we mention all these great rock and roll stars, we'll probably get a hit out of it. And they did, I guess. I never heard of the song until I had satellite radio and it would come on the 70s channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
yeah. I'm thinking he was gone too soon. Sammy Davis Jr. This guy's been along. Keith Richards, he should have died sooner. Something like that?
Yeah.
But I can't sing to it. I can't sing to the song.
And that one guy on the Skins, can he play a tune? And then once he dropped dead and his name was Keith Moon, that was fucking terrible. So it's just, what are you going to do?
Mick Jagger's been, he's been along around, he's been here long, too long, Mick Jagger. And that guy tried to kill George Harrison with the dagger. He tried.
He did. All right. Well, I figured I would bring that up. That's the Righteous Brothers. I guess the song's Rock and Roll Heaven. I wanted to bring that
up. I'm just not sure what happened. Just don't ever run into David Chapman. That was a good one.
That's funny, dude. How about the guy that tried to kill Reagan? Why would have been better if he tried to shoot Kevin Bacon? Because he's in a band, that's why. All right. All right. Nobody's got anything in the chat room.
I know.
They're
trying just as hard as we are.
No, they're not. They phoned it in. They're just hanging out, relaxing. It's cold everywhere in the country. These guys are just trying to stay warm. I appreciate it. You want me to do this last song? You want me to do this other song, dude?
I like when Prince wears a blouse. Just don't go out like Amy Winehouse.
Oh, if he had cholesterol as high as Chris Farley, but he ended up getting shot was Bob Marley. I don't even know how Bob Marley died. I have no idea. Was he shot?
No, he died of cancer.
Cancer, right? Oops.
CIA killed him.
The CIA killed him. Yeah. Josie's like, fuck you, I'm trying over here. All right.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah. They don't even have the pressure that we do.
Bob Marley was around and he took some action. Just don't hire a doctor like Michael Jackson.
I got it. Ready? He had a father that was tough like Andrew Dice Clay. And it was too bad that he shot his son, Marvin Gaye.
There you go.
Not bad,
there's
right?
Another one. There's another one.
April 1984. April 1st, actually. My birthday. Oh, shit, man. That's funny. I'm surprised nobody did a George Harrison joke yet.
I know, I did with the dagger.
Oh, yeah, but didn't he have brain cancer? Didn't he die of brain cancer?
Yeah, he had cancer.
Yeah. Eesh. Fucking a beetle.
He wished he wrote that holiday song about Prancer, but unfortunately he died of cancer.
All right, Colorado Dickhead have one. Elvis was a heavy hitter. Just don't pop pills over on the shitter. Not bad. I like
not good.
It. I like it. Elvis was a heavy hitter. A heavy hitter is just funny. Maybe we should have the song playing in the background.
As the doo-doo flies, I'm sitting here on this cold bowl, and one more minute and I'm going to go.
What?
I don't know. I changed the song.
Holy shit. Oh, Elvis was a heavy hitter. Just don't pop pills on this shitter. That's awesome. Oh, man. I wish I had more fucking people fucking...
Yeah, hold on. Just hang out for a second. Right, they're coming. They're coming.
I'm patient. I don't care. Yeah. That's awesome.
James Brown died unfortunately. They had him in a refrigerator for 30 days.
We all wanted to bang down a summer, but when she died, it was an erection killing bummer. Nope.
Nope.
Not a fucking thing. And it was well deserved. Well deserved to get nothing. Donna Summer. And then there was the one with the white and black faction, and he took too many drugs, Michael Jackson.
When I was a kid, I had a James Field, Hedgefield crush. Then they lost the bass player in the back of the bus.
That's great.
Google
That's
it.
Cliff Burton, man. You don't have to tell me. I think it was September of 86.
After a bus accident, James Hetfield was hurting. I didn't know that they actually lost Cliff Burton.
And we didn't know the Def Leppard van would be such a harm until the drummer lost both of his arms. Josie's like, son of a bitch bastard. I got like 8 dead musicians in my head. I can't think of any of the rhymes. Oh, man. We gotta get a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, I got somebody now. I gotta think of the rhyme.
Yeah. Hold on. We're getting it.
Okay. Alright. Hold on. Oh, what's his name?
Even though he should have been dead a long time, Iggy, he lasted much longer than Biggie.
I was thinking Biggie, too. I was trying to think of one that rhymes with Biggie.
Iggy Pop, Iggy.
Iggy and Biggie, yeah, absolutely. Dude, people are freaking right now listening to this fucking podcast. Yeah. Going, how many times am I going to hear this fucking song?
She wasn't the first and she's not the last, but a ham sandwich killed Mama Cass.
Oh, that's awesome.
Google it,
holy
young kid.
Oh, my God. Josie in the chat. In heaven, you better not be a liar, or you'll burn up like you were in the Great White Nightclub Fire.
Wow. Josie, that's fucking funny, man. That's brutal. That's awesome. Oh, God.
Hey, we knew that guy wasn't gay. The guy who ended up shooting Jam Master Jay. They never know who found out who killed Jam Master Jay.
Yeah, still on the land.
Fucking Josie's like, what rhymes with Tupac? If all right, here we go. Dude, I got one. Oh boy, I got one. Ready? If you're ever thinking of flying before the dawn, don't you go fucking flying with that Stevie Ray Vaughan. I let it go too long because I was going with the actual song.
I got you. No, you played along with the music.
Dude, what Colorado dickhead, once bitten, twice fried. Wow. That's a whole new song, Colorado dickhead.
Dude, remember the firehouse that we had to do back in the day? The nasty club where you had to stand behind the bar where the bands are? Firehouse, Firethorn.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. I was like, please. There was just band equipment. I was like, it was like 2 days afterwards, and I'm like, please get up for our next Great White. The survivors of Great White didn't go over well. It was a rock club.
Oh, okay. Nice going, dude.
All right. Hold on. I got one more coming.
All right. Let's just.
I got one more coming.
We gotta end this with a really good one. You know, because if not, then I'll just Once Bitten, Twice Fried by Colorado Dickhead. It's fantastic as a song. I got something brewing, which would normally sound terrible. Can't believe how long we're milking this fucking bit.
Yeah. One of my favorites is the artist Prince. And that night, Jim Morrison took a ride. I haven't seen him since. You know, he's buried. You know, he's supposedly still alive.
Yeah. Not bad. There's got to be one more. One more doozy. Come on. You know that if we had an actual radio show, the phone lines would be lit. And then, of course, Josie and Colorado Dickhead and would be fucking hitting with some good ones. Okay, here we go. Josie. All right. Heaven is one big bash, bigger than John Denver's crash. Oh, that's awesome.
He died in that experimental plane. And one of his songs after he died came out. It was called Seat Belts on My Shoulders Won't Save Me.
Oh, God, man. That's funny. That's terrible.
And instead of Rocky Mountain High, it was, oh, my God, I'm going to die.
Holy shit. I don't know. What do you think? You want to bail?
Yeah, we'll probably have to bail on this one. Wow. Son of a bitch, but you know what? It's going to be an hour from now. I'm going to have 18 of them.
Yeah, probably. But that wasn't bad, man. We about 15 minutes of the Righteous Brothers.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Heaven.
You got a couple of them. You got a couple.
Who would have thought that it would have ended up that, you know?
Yeah.
That was great. You guys rock. These guys are fucking great in the chat. Who needs all the More Like Radio people, huh? We got our boys right here. All right. Let's see. Let's think of something we can end with, dude. I got a bunch of stories here. And
just ask Kurt Cobain. It's a shotgun to the face.
Just ask Stevie Ray Vaughan. It's a helicopter ride around Manhattan. No, he didn't die in Manhattan.
No, he didn't, stupid. You know what? My girlfriend sent me this.
Elvis died when he tried to lay a turd, and then they almost died singing Free Bird.
Not bad. Feeling glum? Hey, we got to do this story today because it happened to fall on this exact day. It's Blue Monday. Today is actually Blue Monday. Rain, debt, and divorce makes it the worst day of the year. It wouldn't come as a surprise if you started to feel down in the dumps. You aren't alone because today's Blue Monday, supposedly the most miserable day of the year. It was originally identified in 2005 by...
It's also the color that was found on the faces of all the 27-year-old rock stars. Hendrix, Morrison, Joplin, yeah. Winehouse, Cobain.
Absolutely. I think Cobain had a lot of different colors, but...
Yeah, a couple of different colors.
Today will be nearly five... Let me see. Yeah, it was originally identified in 2005 by academic Cliff Arnell, who thought it fell in the last full week of January. He calculated the date using a variety of factors, including weather conditions, debt levels, failed New Year's resolutions, and the number of days that have elapsed since the end of Christmas holidays. But over the past 3 years, researching about 2 million tweets posted...
Kurt Cobain's music made me frolic. It's an unfortunate he made his own Jackson Pollock.
All right.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. I think it needed
the
music.
He made his own Jackson Pollock.
He did.
It made me frolic.
He made it.
And then he made his own Jackson Pollock.
Yeah, I got it when
That's
you first...
That's not bad.
I got it when you said it the first time. Amazingly enough, I'm such an idiot. I figured
I'm
that out.
Just reassuring myself.
All right. Today has also
put that to music.
Today has also been dubbed Divorce Monday by legal experts. It is the most popular day of the year for starting divorce proceedings, and January is the busiest divorce month, with twice as many divorces being filed as the second most popular month, September. My parents were divorced. They got divorced in January. They were divorced in January. Weird.
Well, is it after is it like the first business days in the beginning of January? It's like for New Year.
I think a lot of it's because the credit cards are coming in now, and you know, all that shit. Divorce Depot: 1.8 million couples will have rode over the festive break. They asked 1,000 people to name the factors that cause a marital strain over Christmas, with financial pressure, excess alcohol, disagreements with the in-laws, and rose over chores coming out on top of the list. I don't know. I don't know if that's even fucking... And then there's...
I don't even remember when my parents got divorced. It just happened.
But I remember the
year long.
Yeah, but I remember their divorce date was January. I think it was 23rd or 24th, 1984.
Really? What, did he come over and cut her toenails?
Yeah, I think that's how they celebrate it. It's a celebration.
Celebration.
It's a celebration.
I'm going to have an operation.
I'm going to do a celebration, and then I'm going to do a little operation. If it isn't no rock and roll heaven for the celebration, then maybe I'll take him operation. If it isn't no rock and roll heaven for no rock and roll bands, and I don't know if they even eat a Asti Spumanti, but we all know that the man who really means a lot to me was a Lumanti.
I'd always love to drive a Maserati. I'm so glad we lost Pavarotti.
Let me see. Josie, I tried in vain to work something with the dead kid from Glee. That... Yeah, me and Kenny, unless you said dead kid from Glee, me and Kenny were not going to know who he was.
Like nothing.
Wouldn't have known.
Hey, the Kurt Cobain made me frolic. Now you made your head a Jackson Pollock is fantastic. Really pretty good.
That is, and you know what? That should be the line of, that should be like the quote from the...
Unless I come up with something else in the next 10 seconds.
Rock and roll heaven. Got it.
Yeah.
That would be the pretty much the line of the show.
That was a good bit, though. That was a funny bit.
It actually worked out okay, right?
Yeah. And we're going to, you know what? We're going to continue that.
Let's try to. Yeah. Maybe we'll do, you know, maybe we'll try to start that with the, you know, online or something like that. But here, let's try this real quick.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is a story.
It's definitely something that we won't do like, oh, here's the bit. But if you think of something, jot it down.
Yeah.
Tell us about it and we'll play the song for it.
All right, here's a bit. It's Here's a quick story.
This is Mia's new Honda CR-V, the same car that
can't even mute
that
this cocksucker.
Rock and roll. And the Bluetooth.
It's gonna start in like 8 seconds. It's a local story in Hackensack, New Jersey.
Visit your local Honda dealer
and,
today.
And let's do it.
Does it border on profanity or is it just creative advertising? A sign for a new store in Bergen County is drawing criticism from neighbors. News 12 New Jersey's Douglas Clark has more from Hackensack.
It hasn't even opened yet, but this smoke shop along Main Street in Hackensack is already stirring up controversy, all because of the name on the awning.
How would you pronounce it?
Fooking. Fooking.
I don't see a problem with it at all.
The shop will sell to...
Okay, the shop, it's F-U with a king hat and then king. So it's the Fu King Smoke Shop. I'll continue.
Tobacco and smoking paraphernalia. With an elementary school just down the street, some say the sign is not appropriate for the neighborhood.
I think it is profanity. I really do.
Do
I
you?
I mean, any kid. I mean, you, people
really?
Are driving, they've got their kids in the car, they see this.
And
you
what
know,
do they think?
The kid's he's learning how to spell, and he starts sounding that out in the car to his mother.
Yeah, he's that's also learning domestic violence from your fucking stupid ex-boyfriend that comes over when you're smoking cigarettes outside drunk with your fucking cigarette voice, you cunt.
Jesus.
You really are a fucking trailer park cunt fuck. Listen to her voice. You know she's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Just think there's no possible way that anyone can listen to her audio and go, oh, she sounds pretty. No, she sounds like a fucking disaster. And your life has been a disaster. Your family hates you. Your brother's in prison. He's in the other one's in Hackensack Medical Center with fucking throat cancer. The other one's in a Hackensack fucking correctional facility because he was stealing fucking newspaper money out of the fucking mailbox. You suck. You are an idiot and go fuck yourself. You're on TV and you just want to say something provocative. We should watch the children. Yeah, if you'd watch your fucking children once in a while, one of them wouldn't have fucking died already from a fucking heroin overdose, you cunt.
And you know where that kid is right now? He's in rock and roll heaven. All right, we got to get out of here, dude.
Oh, just real quick. Play her voice back. Play her voice back.
Hold on.
play her voice back and tell me
public
she's
report,
not the epitome of that area.
Spell and he starts sound, or they see this, you know. And he can, I mean, you, people are
say the sign is not appropriate for the neighborhood.
I think it is profanity. I really do. I mean, any kid, I mean, you, people are driving, they've got their kids in the car, they see this, you know, it's, the kid's, he's learning how to spell and he starts sounding that out in the car to his mother, not a good thing.
According to published reports, there is conflicting
information.
You can't
even formulate a fucking sentence. You fucking dried out VO5 hot oil treatment needing cunt. Go back to the bar, suck a dick in the bathroom and have nothing.
All right, let's get out of here, all right? We're going to end on this. We're going to let this play out. I want to thank everybody in the chat. Thank you, guys. You guys rule. I want to thank our producer, Brent. Brent is the best.
These songs make me feel like Hoplin. I hope that mother dies like Janis Joplin.
All right, let's just do this real quick. Follow us on Twitter, at CNK Show. Our Facebook page, like our Facebook page. Subscribe to the podcast, both the regular show and
the shorts.
And the shorts. And our Twitter account, at CNK Show. Mine is at Joe Conti Comic. Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. And Brent's is at Brent Whiteass. I'm pretty sure that's it. And you know what? We can thank Dave Ingram and his new project, which is called...
Hold on. Yeah. Josie, when you get to heaven, leave a mess. Like the whole hotel room left by the singer from NXS. Good one.
Yeah, thanks for Dave Ingram. His new album, which is the band Among the Dead Men. It's a self-titled album. Go to facebook.com/ Down Amongst the Dead Men, or just go to Metal Breakfast Radio. Go to metalbreakfastradio.com, and that's it. You know what? Welcome. It's all about me. To the platform of More Like Radio, and I'm not going to do any other plugs tonight. Let's get out of here.
Switch over if you want to go More Like Radio, but JoJo, I miss you. I wish I was home. Fucking Arctic weather.
All right, brother. We'll let everybody listen to this for the rest of the program.
Yeah, perfect. Lay it out on this.
You got it. I'll see you guys later. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Brent is @WhiteAssBrent. I suck at this. I gotta write it down.